This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! And a great run.
Fires down the middle.
It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted. Tre Day. Tre'Davious White.
He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked.
It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there.
Poy cuts to the right.
Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Welcome to the show. Donald, question right off the bat. Today is Friday, right?
It's Friday.
Good.
We need to run
Good.
The clock on this Friday.
it is Friday. Good afternoon. Welcome to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones in our beautiful studio here, the One Buffalo studio at One Bills Drive in the AdPro Sports Training Center in front of the Fieldhouse, if you will. Here for the next 3 hours with a pretty good show. It's like a couple of days before Christmas. You know what I mean?
Is it?
Stuff's going to start happening probably Monday, probably over the weekend. By the time we come back here Monday, there's going to be stuff going on. But it just hasn't happened for the Buffalo Bills yet, Donald. And I'm sick of waiting, I got to say.
I'm sick of waiting. I mean, a couple of days before Christmas for me, typically, you know, with the kids, I'm tired of it. So it's a little bit different because it's like, all right, look, can we get through this thing? I'm tired of this. I need them to just open their gifts and we can move on. But no, I am sick of waiting. I'm ready to, and it's interesting to start to see all of these different trades happen around the league. And that's for me is I think the most interesting part of this free agency season that we're getting into right now, because it seems like we're having a lot more trades
yes.
than in the past.
Yes.
We saw this last year, but it seems like now you're seeing big names. They're like, no, we're going to go ahead and trade you. And they're not even trading guys for a lot. They're trading guys for like fifth-round picks, sixth-round picks, later-round picks, these veteran guys. And I'm not sure what that is about. I would love to speak to someone, Andrew Brandt, you know, some GM, even maybe the Bills GM here at some point, about what is that trend that is happening in the NFL with these veteran players. I mean, I understand the whole situation with Marcus Peters out in Kansas City and his whole attitude problem and all that stuff. But then they traded him for like a fifth-round pick.
Yeah.
He's arguably the best corner in the game right now, and you trade him for a fifth-round pick. And so that's going to be something that we need to continue to watch before we get to next Thursday and free agency opens up.
I have in my hand about a two-week-old article written by Greg Rosenthal of NFL.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about this as the show goes along. But you're right, the Rams have been very active in the trades. By the way, none of these trades actually can take place officially until Wednesday when the league year begins.
Right.
But they're agreed to trades, including, the trade last night. Why? You know, the trade tsunami, he says. This offseason could be defined by deals. He writes, you ask, why is it happening? He writes this, which I think is pretty instructive. Extra cap room makes trading veteran contracts easier. This was 2 weeks ago. 20 teams have more than $20 million in cap space. Now, the official cap number just came out the other day, which I think got all these teams to put a pencil in their hand and a piece of paper and figure out, okay, exactly how much do we have? And there's extra cap room. You can move contracts around like you couldn't a couple of years ago in the NFL. You couldn't do that. Alex Smith moves to Washington. Big deal. The first of many headline-making deals. You couldn't do that a couple of years ago. Rosenthal goes on to say, most teams still have a lot more room to create through roster cuts. So with so few difference makers available in free agency, there's an argument that teams have been too fiscally responsible in recent years. Salary cap space is overrated if nearly every team has enough of it. I was thinking
too
about
fiscally
that.
Fiscally responsible.
Yeah. Well, the cap has gone up. And you know, we hear the people saying, oh, the NFL's in trouble. Well, maybe not. I mean, the TV ratings dropping as they are, they're still pretty valuable. Thursday Night Football package, that is obviously the best evidence of that. They're making money. That pushes the cap up. That means teams have more flexibility. They can make trades even before you get to free agency next Wednesday. Teams have been making trades, and I think it's definitely something that we've seen already, and it bears watching. You know, Richard Sherman's probably going to be released today. Aqib Talib, a trade agreed between Denver and the Rams. These are major players.
Yeah.
These are major big-name corners in the league who are moving. Sherman probably be released, but Tlaib moved in a trade. Marcus Peters moved in a trade for whatever reason. The main thing is teams have money now to make trades, which they didn't have.
They do have money, and I wonder if in the next CBA, you know, the Players Association, their argument is you need to move the floor up in terms of how much money you're actually spending on these players. You have teams that have $90 million in cap space. It's like you're not spending money on your players. And so that could be something that's in their argument. But when you look at, I think this is going to be a trend that we are going to see a lot more in the league. And these veteran players that are making a lot of money, they're going to trade them. They're just going to trade them. And the team that they get to, they might renegotiate the contract, whatever the case may be. But you're going to see a lot of guys get traded, veteran guys that have been, you know, staples of an offense, of a defense, of an organization for the last 5 years or something like that. Yeah, we'll go ahead and move on from you. And so we can get some draft picks in return. I think it's showing that these teams, everybody wants to build. Well, not everybody, but there are a lot of teams that want to build through the draft. The Rams still got a lot of draft picks. And so you got a lot of teams that are like, we want to build through the draft. We have these guys that we're paying a lot of money, or we don't have cap space and we need to create some space so that we can get in position to get a bigger name free agent once free agency opens up. And so we'll go ahead and trade you so that it can help out with the cap space instead of outright cutting you. And we have this dead cap number. It's a huge dead cap number. And so I think that's what you're seeing now.
Yeah. Trades. I think you're going to see trades over the weekend going right into early next week.
Yeah.
I think you might see the Buffalo Bills make a trade. We'll talk about that as the show goes along. Got a good show lined up for you here today. Coming up at 1 o'clock today, Greg Cosell, as usual, Friday visit, the guru of film from NFL Films and from ESPN's NFL Matchup. Greg Cosell is going to join us at 1 o'clock. He's taking a look at some of the edge pass rushers available in this year's draft. Plus, we'll get his take on the quarterback performances at the Combine last Saturday down there in the field at Lucas Oil Stadium. Greg Cosell at 1. 2 o'clock, one of our favorite guests, Cynthia Freeland from NFL Network. She's their analytics expert. She's done a lot of research into Combine performances and how they translate to NFL careers. And we'll talk with Cynthia Freeland about that. She'll be on the air with us at 2. Plenty of open time for you to call. The phone line's open, 803-0550, and toll-free 1-888-552-550. We are 5 days away from the start of free agency, kind of. The official league year starts next Wednesday, 5 days away. We're just 3 days away from really when free agent deals can be made. The open discussion portion of free agency starts Monday, the legal tampering portion, if you will. What is our Twitter? I guess it's not a poll. It's more of a question. What free agent move do you think would have the biggest impact on the entire league? Maybe the Buffalo Bills, but the entire league. Look what's out there, what the potential out there is. Kirk Cousins, you would think right off the bat. Sammy Watkins, likely to be a free agent. Does he stay with the Rams or not? Does he move? What free agent move do you think would have the biggest impact in the NFL this season? Maybe there's a Bills signing you think will have a big impact, or a Bills player getting away in free agency. Give us a call. The line's open, 803-0550. Toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-552-550. Or you can do it on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Which free agent moves are going to have the biggest impact in the National Football League this year? Donald and I have talked it over. We've got a couple of ideas. Donald, you want to go through some of these? Big impact, 5 days until free agency, big impact free agent moves. Let's start with something that we kind of hinted at yesterday, but you think there's a pretty good chance that the Patriots wind up with Jimmy Graham, the tight end from Seattle? Tell me what you think.
Well, there was a report out there that you know, the Patriots might end up trying to land Jimmy Graham. And to be honest with you, I mean, that's a team that likes to have two tight ends that can get up the field. Going back to, you know, when they had Rob Gronkowski and they had Aaron Hernandez, and that became, you know, their offense. They like to have those two guys, and you'll see them every year. They make sure, well, they always have Gronk, unless he's hurt, but they always have Gronk, and then they'll bring in somebody else, whether it's Martellus Bennett, somebody else that can get up the field. You'll see them make some sort of a bigger, I don't want to say splash name, but splashier type of name at the tight end spot, a guy who is very athletic, who can get up the field and take the pressure off of Gronk. And so it wouldn't shock me if they tried to bring in Jimmy Graham. If it's at the right number, he's a little bit older now. His production isn't the same as it was when he was in New Orleans. Once he got up to Seattle, he had some touchdowns, but he wasn't the focal point of that offense up in Seattle. And so I think the Patriots would be able to get him at a cheaper number. And it would make sense for that offense as they try to get better every year.
Do they Are they interested in Jimmy Graham, the Patriots, if Gronkowski is coming back?
I would think so. I think they like to have two tight ends, yeah. And they could use both of those guys getting up the field.
I mean, they didn't really use Bennett.
They didn't use him. Well, they ended up having to use Bennett because Gronk went down. And Bennett was the number one guy. And so that's Bennett had a good year, and then he moved on. They didn't re-sign him with Gronk coming back. But I think you look back over the years, they like to have two tight ends. And if they can get Jimmy Graham at the right number, I think Brady would be on board for it.
Yeah.
Please sign him up.
And he'd be what? A kind of a role player? He wouldn't – so say they got him and Gronk. He's not going to take snaps away from Gronkowski, is he?
He's not going to take snaps away from Gronk. But I think a lot of times – and I know this from being there, they like to line up with two tight ends on the field. Two tight ends, two wide receivers. Now, they run a spread open offense, but that's really smoke and mirrors. They like to have two tight ends on the field, two wide receivers. They line those guys up all across the field. That's why they like to have two athletic tight ends. You'll see Gronk all the way outside. You'll see another tight end lined up as a normal tight end, and you'll see two receivers, one in the slot, and one on the other side all the way outside. They'll go five wide and still have two tight ends on the field, two wide receivers, and put the running back out wide. You know, so I think that's their offense. They like to have two tight ends that can get up the field and can make plays for them. It makes things a lot easier for Tom Brady, and it makes things a lot easier because they don't have typically the big physical wide receivers. You know, obviously, you know they have Brandon Cooks who can get down the field now, but if you bring in a Jimmy Graham, That's a difference maker for your offense.
Okay. So that's one free agent move Donald has in mind. We're talking about free agent moves over the next week or so that could have the biggest impact in the National Football League. We want to hear from you. Phone lines open, 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550. I got one for you, which I wasn't ready to say until this morning. I was reading something this morning about this, thinking about it. I think Drew Brees might wind up on the open market, Donald. I mean, we are days away now. He can't negotiate with anybody till Wednesday, a special provision in his contract. Mm-hmm. He's not one of those who can do the Monday flirtation period, the legal tampering period.
Yeah.
But what really is the problem with the Saints? What are you waiting for on Drew Brees? Mm-hmm. Yes, there's age as a factor, but we saw him here in November. He's great. He's still great. He's still a great, impactful player. He is the face of that franchise, has been for a decade or more. You got to believe something's up down there in New Orleans with Drew Brees. I think that, what, even more so than Cousins, if Drew Brees becomes a free agent next week, that would have the biggest impact in the NFL, maybe in decades. If a quarterback the caliber of Drew Brees is out there and available.
What?
And if he gets to Wednesday and is out there as a free agent, that would be crazy. I think that would be out of control. I think Broncos, for example, would say, the heck with Cousins. We're going
what?
After Brees.
Everybody.
Yeah.
The heck with Cousins. Minnesota. We're going after Brees. You know what Brees can do. Brees is putting up 5,000 yards on multiple occasions throughout his career, and he's already won a Super Bowl. You know he can win playoff games. I think teams would definitely be all in and say, look, Kirk Cousins, we'll circle back around to you if we can't land Drew Brees.
Yeah.
So, he would change the market because we've been talking about – Kirk Cousins is the first domino to fall. If Drew Brees hits the open market, he's the first domino to fall.
The first and the biggest.
Right.
Now, I'm not predicting that will happen, but I feel today a little bit less sure that Brees is going to re-sign with the Saints right away, just because another day has passed. There have been no reports of any negotiations. The Saints made sure that everybody knew that Brees could not negotiate with the team until Wednesday, not Monday like every other free agent. But his contract prevents him from talking to teams until next Wednesday. Just enough to make me think that maybe something is up down there in New Orleans. You know, maybe something is up. Man. They know how important he has been to the franchise. He's been the face of the franchise. But there's age at play here. And there's, I don't know. I think their ownership structure is a little bit unsettled at this point.
I wonder if
I'd just keep an eye on that one. That's all I'm saying.
I wonder if Drew Brees is, like, looking at the money that Kirk Cousins might get on the open market, the money that Jimmy Garoppolo just got. Now, Drew Brees obviously is doing this now. You're not going to say, well, he's trying to get his second contract. This dude has made millions and millions of dollars in this league and had a couple of big contracts. But he's still going – because he's Drew Brees, he's still going to get a big contract. And he might look at everybody else and say, I'm trying to get that number.
Yeah.
And maybe the Saints are not prepared to be able to give him that number. But it's so hard for me to believe that the Saints – would let him get out the door. Now, anything can happen. I understand that. If your coach was ready to let go of Tom Brady, if that was really the truth, then the Saints could let go of Drew Brees. But who do you have in the wings? You don't have anybody in the wings. You'll be a team that's really out here looking for a quarterback. And it's not like you're in position to draft one of these guys.
Right.
You're later than the Bills in the draft.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's hard for me to see that happening. But at the same time, this is a business. This is the NFL, and anything could happen. But you talk about a guy, you talk about changing the face or changing the league, the structure, or not even the structure, but the outlook on the league. That guy, that would change that city. That city would be devastated. Yeah. There'd be people in that city probably crying because Drew Brees just got out the door.
Yeah.
How did y'all let that happen? I mean, people would stop going to the games. You'd be talking about a total change out there in New Orleans.
We're 5 days away from the start of free agency, and Donald and I are speculating on some of the free agent moves that could have a huge impact in the NFL. Let's hear from you. Phone lines open, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Here's one that you've got. Seattle Times reports that the Seahawks, maybe as soon as today, are going to release cornerback Richard Sherman. His future's been in question for a while.
Sherman.
He said late last season he was open if the team wanted to trade him. He had that ruptured right Achilles that ended his season in November, had a cleanup procedure on the same part of his other foot. He'll be 30 at the end of this month, Richard Sherman going into the final year of a four-year deal. The report is Seattle might release him as soon as today. And, Donald, you have a destination in mind for Richard Sherman, at least potential destination, huh?
Yeah, no, first of all, this doesn't shock me that they're moving on from Richard Sherman. I mean, he's making a lot of money. He's a big cap hit out there, and he's coming off of an Achilles. And for a cornerback, I mean, you just don't know what's happening there and how good he'll be. An Achilles that's one of those injuries. You just never know how a guy truly recovers from that if he can be the same player. I had a chance to I was actually out at the combine, and Snyder, their GM – is it Snyder?
Schneider,
yeah.
Yes.
Their GM was in the same place that I was in, you know, with my financial guy. He was in there. My financial guy represents him. He didn't like Marshawn. He had some issues with Marshawn Lynch, and it's, you know, from speaking to people around that organization, he has some issues with Sherman and Bennett and all of those guys because they're so outspoken about different things and their mentalities, all of that stuff. And so when you look at all of that stuff, it doesn't shock me that, you know, they will – go ahead and release him. Now, it wouldn't shock me if the Patriots tried to sign him up. Yeah. It wouldn't shock me if they tried to sign him up.
They wouldn't pay him much. They've got all their money invested in
Gilmore. That's the biggest. Yeah, they do have all their money invested in Gilmore. But, you know, they found ways to be creative with their contracts and make it happen. They've signed guys on one-year deals. And there have been, throughout the last 15 years, veterans that will say, you know what, I'll take a pay cut to go there. Because I know at least we'll be in the playoffs. You do it every year, and we'll be somewhere in the playoffs trying to get to the Super Bowl. So it wouldn't shock me if Richard Sherman said, you know what, all right. Now, I know Richard Sherman is about that business, and he's about getting his money. So if a team is going to offer him a long-term deal and it's enough guaranteed, he's going to go there. At the Patriots, I wouldn't see them offering him a long-term deal. It would be a one-year deal with probably what he was going to make this year.
Okay. See a difference maker at this point in his career, Richard Sherman?
That's what I don't know with that injury, yeah, that Achilles. I don't know. But I tell you this, if the Patriots did sign him up and you got Richard Sherman on one side and you got Stephon Gilmore on the other side, that's a pretty good defensive backfield with McCourty and Patrick Chung on the back end, Daron Harmon, the other safety that plays with them. I mean, that's a pretty good defensive backfield. So it wouldn't shock me if the Patriots really tried to get in on a Richard Sherman.
Free agent moves that could have a big impact on the league coming up, 5 days away from free agency. Give us a call, 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550, or on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Lead the stampede with a tweet on this. Cousins is the domino we are all waiting to fall. Hopefully he goes to a team ahead of the Bills and helps a quarterback slide down in round one. He goes on to say, Watkins is interesting. I'm praying he does not go to New England and torment us two times a season. Cousins, the domino. I think that's right, unless something crazy happens with Drew Brees. The free agent move that I have next on my list, I had Drew Brees first. Kirk Cousins, I think he's going to sign with Minnesota. I think things have lined up that way. I think the Vikings have lined themselves up. They have everything you want. You know, good, strong defense, targets downfield. Even though they may have had some sort of informal communications at the combine or wherever, they'll start to talk on Monday. And I have a feeling that by Tuesday at the latest, the word will be that Kirk Cousins is going to the Minnesota Vikings. I think he's almost a fit there. So that's a move that I anticipate will happen, and I think it will have an impact. I think he'll make the Minnesota Vikings even better than they've been the last year.
Now, teams are going to be in on Kirk Cousins. And if that report is right, the $93 million right. Fully guaranteed, 3 years, I see him going there just because the Vikings are a good team, and he'd feel like I could win right now. I can come in and be the final piece to a team that was right there, the game away from the Super Bowl. So that would make sense if he ended up in Minnesota. But the longer we wait, as we were talking about Drew Brees, the longer we get into this thing, if Drew Brees is not signed, does that make Denver, Minnesota, Arizona sit back a little bit and say, hold on Kirk Cousins? Let's see if Drew Brees actually signs out there in New Orleans, because if he doesn't, we want Drew Brees over a Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, and they'll have a decision to make. I mean, there's a pretty significant age difference, right, when it comes to those two.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think that, you know, Kirk Cousins is 29 years old, and Drew Brees is, what, 39 years old?
Something like that.
So that's 10 years, and you could argue, and I would actually, if I were going to argue that they wait, see what Brees is doing, you could argue that in today's NFL, you only plan for a couple of years ahead. You know what I mean? You do. You probably do. You know, and that goes back to your point earlier about trades instead of free agent moves. You know, you only kind of look at things maybe 2 years ahead at most, you know. If that would be the argument to go, let's see what Brees is doing before we sign Kirk Cousins.
Right, exactly. And if you're trading for guys, especially guys that are still on rookie deals, you're getting guys on cheap contracts. And so you're like, but guys that have played in the league already, so you've seen them actually produce in this league, and so you're like, I'd rather do that than to go and draft somebody, or I'd rather do that and still have this guy on 1 year of his contract, and then we'll figure out if we want to pay him moving forward after that year is up, versus going out there in free agency and having to break the bank open for one of these big free agents, and you don't know how these guys are going to react to now being paid a lot of money. And so that's why I think we're really seeing a trend in that way. But this whole thing with Kirk Cousins and Drew Brees, I think teams would say, and like you're saying, teams are – because you know coaches move around so much every 2 years, every 3 years. If you're not winning, you're getting fired. And so you're like, I got to make sure that I win right now.
Yeah, this year or next.
Right, this year or next, especially GMs and coaches. And so, yeah, Drew Brees, 39 years old. He didn't look like he was 39 years old last year, or 38 or 39 years old, however old he was at the start of last season. Yeah, I think he's still got a little juice left in the tank. And if we have a good enough offensive line and we have a good enough running game, yeah, we'll sign Drew Brees up because he's still got a year or two left in the tank. And so, yeah, I think teams will really sit back and wait and see what happens with him.
Brees just turned 39 in January, 39 years old. Mm-hmm. Talking about free agent moves coming over the next week or so that could have the biggest impact in the league this year, give us a call. The lines are open, 803-0550, and toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Or you can do it on Twitter, at John Murphy Show. So I've gone through my top two. Drew Brees does not sign with the Saints. Kirk Cousins signs with Minnesota. Donald's gone through his first two. Jimmy Graham signs with the Patriots. And Richard Sherman signs with the Patriots. You're like a Patriots guy here.
I'm not a Patriots
guy. You've got everybody going to New England.
I got some others here as we get into our next three. But I just, you know, those are guys that you've seen the Patriots actually make moves for those positions in the past and try to upgrade at that position. The cornerback position, signing the guy Revis on a short-term deal. Who was it? Brandon Browner?
Yep.
Yeah, Browner on a short-term deal. Veteran guys. The tight end position with Martellus Bennett and different guys in the past that they've signed on short-term deals. So it would make sense if they tried to make those moves with those two guys.
Your third one, now Le'Veon Bell, he has the franchise tag.
And he hasn't signed it.
He hasn't signed it.
Right.
He has options. He can wait, like he did a year ago, not play at all in preseason and then come in. He can wait even a couple of weeks into the regular season. But do you think Le'Veon Bell is going to do something else kind of dramatic this year? Or you might.
He might. And if he does, and we're talking about him actually sitting out the full season, that would change. That would be a story that a lot of people would talk about. If you actually decided to walk away from what his cap number or his franchise number, I believe, would be like $11 million.
Yeah, sounds about right.
If he walked away from that 11, whatever, 12, 13, 14, somewhere in that range, if he walked away from that number, whew, and you sit out a full season, that's like, man, that's something that would change maybe the outlook of players coming coming up here, especially the running back position. That's something that people are going to continue to talk about. And that's all I'm talking about, is just really him actually sitting out for a full season, because the running back position is not a position where you want to be able to – you want to sit out. You know, there are young guys that are coming out. These teams are drafting guys in the fifth, sixth, seventh round, getting guys undrafted, and these guys are becoming stars at the running back position. There's so much running back by committee. And are you going to walk away from that type of money, number one? And are you going to sit out a full year in this league while there are other kids that are coming up? Now, I understand he could probably come back after sitting out a year, but that's tough to do. I've talked to guys that have actually sat out a full year because of injury, and then when they try to come back, they're just not the same player. It takes them a while to get their feet underneath them. So that would be a shock if he actually decided to walk away from that money and sit out a full year.
Le'Veon Bell, I believe, is, what, 26 years old?
Yeah.
Does that sound about right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's 26, turned 26 last month. At that age, Donald, he might be able to get away with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's not young. Like he's 29 or 30.
Right.
He's 26. Now, you know, where are you going to make up? I looked it up, too. The tag, because of his tender offer last year, under the tag, he'd make $14.5 million this year.
Right, yeah.
So, even if he wants to make a statement, even if he wants to, you know, he's got – we've talked about it a little bit yesterday, how he's, neither fish nor fowl, right? He's very productive and does a lot of different things, much more productive in a variety of ways than most running backs in the league, even Shady. You know, he can do more and has provided a bigger chunk of their offense.
Right.
And if he wants to make a stand and wants to make a statement, as you're saying, and as you're right, it would have a big impact. Can he really walk away from $14 million, $10 million, $12 million? I mean, you'll never make that money up.
I'm telling you, it's like, I don't care how much money you've made in this league. There aren't too many people that are going to say, yeah, I'm going to walk away from a $14 million.
Yeah.
And just sit out a year. You know, they might say, they might be in a different situation. I'll walk away from 14. I'll make 10 over here, but I'll make that up next year. But not, you know, I'm going to just walk away from $14 million. You're not going to make that up. And then what happens when you come back? Another team is going to say, well, you're a year older. You haven't played in a year. So we don't know what you can do on the field. So do you think we're going to give you $14 million? The reports are, he wants to make $16 million a year. You think we're going to give you $16 million when you just set out a full year? We don't know what you can do. It's the running back position. That's just what it is. And we just drafted this kid that's playing very well for us. So I don't know if we want to give you $16 million. So that's really – the risk that he's going to take if he decides to walk away from $14 million. That's a lot of money to walk away from.
Less than a week away from the start of NFL free agency, Donald and I are batting around some of the weird things that might happen over this next week, free agent moves. Want to get you involved as well. Phone lines open, 803-0550 is the number to call. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. What do you think are the free agent moves over the next week or so? We'll see. They could have the biggest impact in the NFL. I got one involving Sammy Watkins.
Mm-hmm.
I'll share that with you when we come back after the break. We're just getting rolling here. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones here on this Friday afternoon from One Bills Drive. It is Friday, right?
Yes.
Okay. Just double checking. I've had a weird week, off a couple days being sick, and it's just been weird. I promise I'll put in a full week next week.
Full week next week?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a long one next week.
It's going to be fun.
Oh, it's going to be fun, but there's a long one.
There's going to be stuff going on, and we are on the eve of that right now. You're welcome to join us. Phone lines open, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Free agency. The Bills signed another player, their third free agent signing in 2 weeks. These are street free agents, guys who don't have to wait until next Wednesday. The Bills signed a defensive end, Owa Odigizua, defensive end. Worked him out yesterday. We saw him work out yesterday before the show. Pretty impressive physical specimen. Would you agree?
Yeah. He looked impressive just to look at him.
Right.
I haven't had a chance to, watch any film on him. No, he's coming over from the Giants. And this is a typical – I mean, over the last 2 years, man, they've been making these types of signings.
Yeah.
You know, not the splashy names, but guys that have been able to come in and contribute. Not names that everybody would know, but they come in and contribute. And we'll see if he's able to really come in and contribute in a big way.
Oh, Odighizuwa, who went to UCLA, was a third-round pick, which says something about it, in 2015. Appeared in four games as a rookie with the Giants. Finally wound up on injured reserve. Played in 14 games in 2016. Released by the Giants last August. Did not play in 2017. Got involved in the performance-enhancing substance issue and had to sit out last year. 6'3", 267 pounds, 25 years old. He ran a 4.62 in the 40 at the pre-draft testing, a 39-inch vertical leap. The Bills are taking a run, seeing what they've got there. Owa Odighizuwa signed to the Buffalo Bills roster. As they continue, Donald, to plug a few holes, you know, so now you got backup running back, you got a defensive end. They need front seven help. We've talked about that. And, of course, you go back to the corner that they signed a week ago. Before they even get to free agency and then the draft to follow at the end of April, the Bills are trying to plug holes. This is a smart way to do it, I think.
Yeah, and I continue to say I just don't see them making the big, big splashy moves year in and year out. I mean, every now and then you might see a guy, but it's going to be at a point where they feel like, man, we need this one last piece. And this guy is a guy that can really help to change – to plug a hole, but put us over the top, whether it's a defensive end. But the rest of the team is already filled out. They feel comfortable about the rest of the team. All right, we can go out here and get this guy because we got enough money to make it happen. And he's going to come in here and really help this team out from the leadership standpoint and on the field. But I see them making these types of moves every year until they feel like they've built out this team through the draft.
And while I don't see them making a big splashy move next week, I do think they're going to be active next week in free agency.
Oh, they're going
to
be
active. They've got holes to fill.
Yeah.
They've got roster spots to fill.
Yeah,
well, they got 19 of their own free agents.
Exactly.
They're not going to keep them all.
Whether you're signing those guys back or you're signing somebody out there on the street, you got to do something. So, yeah, we're going to see some moves be made next week. And whether it's splashy names or not, you're going to see them actually do some things next week. You might see them over the weekend make some cuts to try to make some space to get some guys.
Yeah.
I mean, teams are doing it all across the league. The Bills haven't really done that yet, but we'll see if they do it over the weekend and leading into free agency next week.
You know what else has to at least get some clarity before next Wednesday? Kyle Williams' status. Free agent, one of the Buffalo's free agents. You would think they'd like to have a sense from him and an agreement between the Bills and Kyle where his future lies before they hit the market, open up the market on Wednesday.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the agreement on, first of all, do you want to play?
Yeah.
Secondly, what are we talking about money-wise?
Right.
You know,
and how long do you want to play, and how much do we need to pay?
Exactly. And people are saying, well, I've seen people, you got to do what you got to do to get Kyle back here. It doesn't work like that.
No.
It's a business,
yeah.
You know, and they're going to put a value, a certain number on Kyle. And if he's above that number, then I wouldn't be shocked if they said, all right, Kyle, you know, we love you here, but we can't entertain that number if that's what you want. Now, I don't see him doing that. Kyle, I'm talking about. But, hey, he might want a certain number that they're not ready to entertain. And if not, the fans here just got to be willing to understand that this is a business at the end of the day. Teams walk away from the great ones, guys that have been loyal to that city, guys that have done so much in the community. And I'm not speculating that that's what's going to happen at all. I'm just saying don't be shocked if something like that did happen.
Going to be the next 5 days going to be very interesting. 5 days away from the start of free agency, Donald and I going through our list of major moves that could have the biggest impact in the NFL. Donald started with saying that Jimmy Graham's going to go to the Patriots. Richard Sherman could go with the Patriots, and he thinks Le'Veon Bell could sit out the season. I began with Drew Brees not re-signing with the Saints. Could happen. I'm not forecasting it will, but every day I feel a little bit stronger like this could happen. I got Kirk Cousins signing with Minnesota. I got this one. Sammy Watkins, they elected not to tag him, tagging his teammates, the Rams, the other day. So now Watkins looks like he'll hit the free agent market next Wednesday. We've talked about Sammy on this show. You know, he has not produced the way his skill set would lead you to believe that he could produce.
Right.
Obviously. He's going to hit the free agent market. He has something to prove, and yet – there's stuff about Sammy. You know, Joe Mixon, did you see this? Bengals running back tweeted out, yo, Sammy Watkins, I'd love to squat up and have you on the squad. Come on over to Cincy with my dogs, A.J. Green. I mean, he's basically recruiting him. I think there's going to be more of that. Watkins has a big reputation, Donald, bigger than his production. There's no question about that. We know Sammy Watkins pretty well here in Buffalo. And I think that reputation and that potential I'm not saying he's going to break the bank. He won't be one of the top paid receivers, but I think he'll do more than just be a one-year tested out free agent signing for somebody. I think Watkins is not going to re-sign with the Rams because there's going to be interest in Sammy Watkins. Teams are going to look at him and say he's a potential, hasn't done it yet, but a potential top receiver in this league. Still has that potential after 4 years in the league, I think. I don't think he's going back to the Rams.
First of all.
Yes, sir.
We got to get you some more swag as you read these tweets from the players.
Oh, did I not read that right?
No, we just got to get you a little more swag sauce.
Do you want to read it?
No, I'm not going to read it.
Let me read it. Yo, Sammy Watkins. I'd love to
keep going.
Have you on the squad. Tell me how do you make that better?
I don't really know.
Come on over to Cincy with
some
my dogs.
Have it. I don't know.
What am I missing?
We're going to keep working on this with you. We're going to keep working on this.
What am I missing?
More swag.
Squat up with my dogs. Come on over to Cincy.
Oh, man. So, I don't see him.
What do I need?
Back
swag?
There.
Is that what you're saying?
A little more swag sauce.
Okay. Swag sauce.
Right.
Okay.
They got it in the locker room over there.
Isn't
they?
Okay. Okay. Right next to the juice.
Right. Exactly.
Need some swag sauce.
Some swag sauce. No, I think Sammy's there's going to be interest for Sammy because of the potential. You know, he scored a lot of touchdowns this year. He didn't have a lot of yards, didn't have a lot of catches, but he did score a lot of touchdowns, and he stayed healthy for a full season. So there's going to be some teams that say, Sammy, we want you. Whether it's a one-year deal, prove it. I don't see teams getting into a five-year long-term deal with him. I see them more of a one-year, two-year deal. Let's prove it and see what you can do. And if I'm Sammy Watkins, you're going to pay me whatever it is, $12 million for 1 year? I'll come there and I'll prove it. It's just like the Alshon Jeffrey situation from last year. The Eagles signed him on a one-year deal, and by the time he got halfway through the season, they were like, yeah, we need to lock him up long-term because they were satisfied with what he was doing for them. They weren't satisfied with him in Chicago. So that the Rams, obviously, they have younger, talented guys that – you know, Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods and those boys that are out there balling. So you're probably not going to have enough money to bring Sammy back. So that's fine. He's not going to be there. I don't see him coming back here for those that have actually tweeted me that.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, they need to bring Sammy. I don't see that happening here for multiple reasons. But there's going to be some interest. And Sammy's going to make some money somewhere. I don't see it being a long-term deal. At the most, it would be a three-year deal.
Yeah, I would say three.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be for more money than you and I even think. Just because that's where it's going. And plus, just to see Mixon recruit like that, there's going to be others who say,
we need
Sammy Watkins.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We need Sammy Watkins. He can change things here. That's how people will look at him.
He can change things here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see where he actually ends up. I can see him somewhere in the AFC South, like a Houston. Line him back up with his boy from Clemson, DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, that would be – Deshaun Watson would be happy if he had both of those guys. What? The old Clemson connection?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's make that happen.
We're going through our top five anyway, impactful free agent signings. With 5 days to go until free agency, Donald and I have come up with lists of the moves that could have the biggest impact. We'd love to hear yours. Bills or NFL, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Donald, you got a quarterback in mind for the Bills as far as an impactful move, right?
Yeah, I know I'm going to get some tweets like, oh, I don't want this guy. And I'm talking about Case Keenum.
I don't want him either, but.
Well, yeah, if it's the right deal, bring him here. You know, I don't have a problem. If it's the right deal, bring Case Keenum here and let him play. Hopefully he could play like he did last year. You get him some weapons on the outside. You continue to, you got to get, you know, a good front seven on defense. You got a good defense, which you'd expect the Bills to have. If you can, you're still going to have a good running game. You get some weapons for him outside at the receiver position. And Case Keenum, you hope that he could play like he did last year. And then you still draft one, you know. So
you go to camp with Keenum, the drafted rookie, and Nathan Peterman? Is that what you're saying?
And Nathan Peterman. And let him battle it out.
Mm-hmm. All right. There's a lot worse scenarios that I could envision.
Yeah.
Free agent moves that could have the biggest impact. I got one, which Bills fans won't be happy about. Preston Brown not re-signing with the Buffalo Bills. You know, we talked with Mike Jannetty, what was it, 2 or 3 weeks ago? We had him on the show about Preston's value on the open market. What did he have him at, $9 million? I don't know. I don't know if the Bills are going to be up for that. I go back to look, Preston is productive, makes a ton of tackles. And we can talk all day about the value of tackle stats, what they mean. But he makes a ton of tackles. He He's handled the transition from defense to defense to defense in his 4 years with the Bills. I just am not sure that he is the type of middle linebacker that they want on this roster. You know what I'm saying? I just don't know that he's the perfect fit. And I think in his mind, and he's never said this, but in his mind, I think Sean McDermott would like a different style of middle linebacker in his defense. With that in mind, and with the money, mostly it's a money thing. I mean, at the right money, of course the Bills will keep him. I just have a feeling that Preston Brown does not re-sign with the Buffalo Bills.
See, this wouldn't shock me either, just because I think they want true speed at the linebacker position. And them coming up from Carolina with having that defense, that fast-flowing defense down there in Carolina, it makes you wonder if that's really what they want, that true speed at that position, guys that can fly sideline to sideline, especially at the middle linebacker with Luke Kuechly. And so they might say, you know what, we want to get younger, we want to get faster, and so we'll go ahead and move on from Preston Brown, especially if he's getting $9 million. Now, I love Preston Brown. He's one of my boys. And I hope he does get $9 million. I wonder, though, if that's what he will truly get on the open market. I wonder if teams will look at him and say, yeah, you've been productive. But at the same time, the production is one thing, and that's what guys want to get paid on, production. But it's also like speed, true speed, and different things at the linebacker position. And it only takes one team to do it. But I do wonder if that's going to be his true value out there, or if teams look at it and say, well, we're more in the ballpark of a $5, $6 million a year.
And I don't know if that'll be enough for Preston.
It might not.
Yeah.
It might not.
Let's take a call here. Ryan calling from Holland, New York, has some thoughts on big, bold free agent moves that could come in the next week. Ryan, what do you got for us today?
Well, hi. I was just calling in. I was going back to your talk about Sammy Watkins and where he could go. I think that one of those teams that could really sneak in to take him is a team like Atlanta, who might lose Taylor Gabriel. You know, Sammy would be a great guy to go alongside Julio Jones. He has money to do it, and I wouldn't be surprised if someone like that stepped in and got him.
Hmm. Wouldn't surprise me. No, I think somebody's going to get Sammy. Somebody's going to get Sammy at a number that they like, but I do think it's going to be a number that Sammy likes too. And I don't think it'll be a one-year prove-it deal. I think it'll be a couple of years, you know, decent money, like Robert Woods type money, something like that.
Right, right. Now, I'd say this. If Sammy Watkins has multiple offers and Atlanta's one of them, and we're talking the same money in all of these offers, I don't see him going to Atlanta.
Why?
Because Sammy Watkins wants to prove that he's the number one wide receiver.
Okay.
If he goes to Atlanta, yeah, they throw the ball around. He won't be the number one. He won't be the number two.
I'm just going to say he might not be number two.
He'd be the number three wide receiver. And he's coming from a place where, yeah, he has some touchdowns, but he was the number three wide receiver for the Rams.
Yeah.
He wants to prove that he is the number one wide receiver in this league because he wants to get paid like he's the number one wide receiver in this league. He has the potential to be a number one wide receiver in this league if he can stay healthy. So I just don't see him actually choosing to go to Atlanta.
All right, we got a couple of more thoughts on this involving quarterbacks when we return, about Kirk Cousins, about A.J. McCarron, about the Bills quarterback situation. We're talking about the moves that could have the biggest impact in free agency. We're 5 days away from the opening of the free agent period. Got phone lines open for you if you'd like to weigh in, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. Donald and I back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Friday afternoon at One Bills Drive, John Murphy, Donald Jones coming up at 1 o'clock. Greg Cosell from ESPN's NFL Matchup and NFL Films. Going to talk about the quarterbacks he saw at the Combine last week. Going to talk about some of the edge rushers available to the Bills and other teams in the draft this year. We're talking about free agency, 5 days away from free agency. The legal tampering can start on Monday, 3 days away. Talking about the moves that could have the biggest impact, and want to hear some from you. A couple of tweets on this. Jay Doyle tweets in, gut feeling Sammy goes to Indy. Maybe that'd be kind of a good matchup. He and Andrew
Luck.
Yeah, and T.Y. Hilton. Jonathan Smokey tweets in, hey, Donald Jones, John Murphy, this is a Bill show. So we're talking about the NFL, the league the Bills playing.
Yeah, this is, you know, I mean.
Don't you think we know it's a Bill show? We got paid.
We talk about the Bills every day.
Give us a call. Hey, moves are going to have the biggest impact. You have five, I have five. Your fifth, I had Kirk Cousins going to Minnesota. You think this would be different?
I think, I don't know if this will happen or not, but if Kirk Cousins signs with the Broncos, the reason why it would be interesting to me and the reason why it would change the outlook of this whole free agency, because if he ends up signing with someone other than the Vikings, what do the Vikings do? Do they now try to re-sign one of those guys? Like, all right, sorry.
I don't know.
You know, we made a mistake. Now we want to try to get you back. And what do those guys do? Say, all right, well, yeah. I mean, Case Keenum will probably go back. But, you know, it's like Kirk Cousins is that domino that we're talking about. I expect Drew Brees to still be in New Orleans. If Kirk Cousins ends up in Denver, what do the Minnesota Vikings do? And that's what makes it very interesting to me, because I think at that point they're probably going to have to try to circle back. It's not like you're in position to get a premium draft pick.
Right.
So you're going to circle back to get one of the guys that you had last year. And what happens if those guys are already off the market?
That's why I'm pretty confident that Cousins is going to go with Minnesota. They can't
They
can't afford not to get him.
Right.
Not with the talent they have, where they are. You know, as we said, the window's very short in the NFL these days. I got a Bills quarterback free agent move, I think, is going to happen. It probably won't make too many heartbeats quicken in Western New York. But I think A.J. McCarron's going to wind up signing with the Buffalo Bills. I know his connection to the Browns and their coaching staff. I just think he's the type of guy that the Bills want for a one-year, maybe one-and-a-half, two-year sort of keep the seat warm until our rookie's ready to play. So I got McCarron going to the Buffalo Bills. Can we recap our five moves?
Keep the seat warm. Just don't fart in it.
The moves that could have the biggest impact. Donald and I have gone through five of them. Each of us have gone through five of them. Donald's five. He's got Jimmy Graham signing with the Patriots. He's got Richard Sherman signing with the Patriots. Le'Veon Bell, Donald says, could sit out the entire season. Mm-hmm. He's got Case Keenum signing with the Bills. He's got Kirk Cousins signing with the Broncos. My five moves that will have the biggest impact, I think, in free agency coming up. Drew Brees not signing with New Orleans. I don't know where he goes. But the fact that this goes every day a little bit deeper, a little bit deeper, a little bit deeper, I think there's a chance that Drew Brees does not go back to the Saints, which would really set the market on fire. I think Kirk Cousins is going to go to Minnesota. I think Sammy Watkins is not going to re-sign with the Rams. I think his price will be bid up too high. Preston Brown, I do not think, will return to the Bills, and A.J. McCarron would be my guess as the quarterback who might go with the Buffalo Bills. Let's get your thoughts on that, 803-0550, and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Or you can do it on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Todd in Hamburg on the line with us for a quick call. Todd, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I thought I heard last week that Philadelphia was willing to trade Coles, and I thought the Bills should go for him, maybe even give him like a one of their ones, number ones this year and a number three, or maybe a one this year and number two next year. Yeah, I think he's a Super Bowl MVP.
Nick Foles makes sense with the Bills to you, Donald? At the right price, I guess I'd have to say he does.
We all know the Bills.
He's not talking about first-round picks, though. I'm thinking, really? Do we got to give up a first-rounder to get Nick Foles?
I mean,
you're going to have to, I guess.
You have to. You're going to have to. The Vikings are going – I mean, the Eagles are going to receive some good offers for Nick Foles. The reports are they've already received offers for Nick Foles, and they've said this is at least what we want if you're trying to get Nick Foles. So the Bills will have to give some draft picks up, early draft picks. You're going to have to give up probably a player too to get into the conversation for Nick Foles. And if you don't feel like one of these guys in the draft makes you a better offense right now, and you're thinking we want to win next year, which Coach McDermott has that mentality. He wants to win. He really doesn't want to take a step back. Now, I still think that they would draft one, but if you trade your two first-round picks away for Nick Foles, well, now you got that guy, and now you have to draft one of those guys in the second round, third round, somewhere in there. I think if you're looking at Nick Foles, you're probably saying to yourself, Nick Foles is our quarterback at least three or four years, the next three or four years.
And I don't know if the Bills want to make that move. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But if you don't get into Nick Foles' trade discussion, and you just say, you know what, we're going to stay where we are and draft and build out the rest of this team, it's so hard to tell what they're going to do. They're in such a tricky spot in 21-22.
Yeah.
You know, so it's so hard to tell what they're going to do.
We don't know, but we just took a stab at it over the last hour or so. The free agent moves are going to have the biggest impact in the NFL. There are rookie quarterbacks coming in as well. And when we return, we're going to talk with really the foremost expert on evaluating the tape, Greg Cosell, longtime producer at NFL Films, the analyst and producer of ESPN's NFL Matchup, scheduled to join us. That's coming up in the next hour. Come on back for that. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bills Drive. The Bills made a move yesterday, their third street free agent signing over the last couple of weeks, signing defensive end Owa Odigizua, who was a former New York Giant, former third-round pick out of UCLA, appeared in four games as a rookie, 14 games in 2016, was released by the Giants last year. Owa Odigizua, defensive end, 6'3", 267-pound defensive end, who was second-team All-Pac-12. Seattle Seahawks are ready to release former Pro Bowl quarterback Richard Sherman. Sherman says he planned on speaking on the phone with Seahawks officials today. His future has been in question dating back to last offseason when the team acknowledged it was open to training him coming off a ruptured right Achilles tendon. Denver Broncos, when the league year opens next Wednesday, are going to trade Pro Bowl cornerback Aqib Talib to the Rams, according to the NFL Network. They'll get a fifth-round pick in return. Former Bills quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick has re-signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a one-year deal. He's 35. Fitz brought in by Tampa Bay to back up Jameis Winston and to mentor the 24-year-old starter. But last year, he stepped in four games and won two of his three NFL starts. Free agency kicks off next Wednesday, but defensive lineman Muhammad Wilkerson continue his tour around the league. He visited the Packers yesterday, left without a deal. Now he's headed south to meet with the New Orleans Saints. College basketball, St. Bonaventure going up against Richmond in the A-10 quarterfinals tonight. 6 o'clock tip-off in Washington's Capital One Arena, the game on NBC Sports Network. Bonnie's the number 2 seed in the Atlantic 10 tournament. They'll face Richmond, who beat Duquesne last night, a 12-game win streak for St. Bonaventure. The UB Bulls advance to the MAC tournament semifinals in Cleveland. UB beat Central Michigan 89-74 yesterday. Now they go for their school record 24th win when they play Kent State in the semifinals tonight in Cleveland. UB coach Nate Oates has agreed to a new 5-year contract to coach the team, and the Buffalo Sabres home tomorrow afternoon, 1 o'clock against Las Vegas. Sabres beat the Senators 4-3 in a shootout last night. That is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones, it's Friday at 1 o'clock, and that typically normally means that our next guest joins us. He is a longtime producer for NFL Films and the analyst and executive producer of NFL Matchup on ESPN. Joining us on the line, Greg Cosell from his home in New Jersey after we saw him at the Combine last week. Greg, thanks for joining us. You made it home safely from the Combine. Good for you.
I did. Good to be with you guys. And, hey, Murph, I know you're going to remember this. I heard you talking about college basketball and St. Bonaventure.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you go back to the days of Bob Lanier.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Great player.
Yeah, I saw him play a number of times, actually, at St. John's University. I grew up about 5-10 minutes from St. John's back in the day before the Big East. And the Bonnies used to come down and play St. John's back in those days.
Yeah. The Bob Lanier Court is what they call it down in Olean now at the Riley Center. You know, and I grew up in Niagara County here, Greg, and we had Calvin Murphy at the same time, another All-American up at Niagara.
And Manny Leakes. I saw Calvin Murphy and Manny Leakes play on the Niagara team at St. John's as well.
Yeah. People don't know how good the basketball was great back then around here. Donald, of course, doesn't know about that. Donald.
A little bit before my time.
Yeah, it is before your time. But the basketball was fantastic.
Murph, was that Jim Maloney the coach of Niagara then?
Frank Layden was the coach when they went in 1970.
That's right, Frank Layden.
Yeah, of course, went on to the Utah Jazz. We can talk about college hoops, Donald.
Hey. Jen. any other sport you want to talk about?
No.
Tiger Woods is first place right now.
We should talk about the Combine. You were there. We were there. We have not talked to you since last Friday, and it was the next day that the quarterbacks took the field and began to throw. I want to ask you about the guy who didn't throw, at Sam Darnold. You said this to us last week, and I believe it. It didn't really – I'm sure it won't impact his draft status. But in the court of public opinion, Greg, I maintain that – people don't talk about Sam Darnold now this week because nobody saw him throw last week. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's just because of the news element. I think a lot of people believe that Darnold could be the best quarterback prospect. And I think what's important to remember, Murph, in this particular class, you've got different quarterbacks, different kinds of players, And this is a prospect class. We all know that if a guy gets drafted in the top five or six, he will play his first year. That's just the way the NFL works now. But these are prospects. These are quarterbacks that have strengths, but clearly define weaknesses and flaws that need to be worked through and cleaned up before they can possibly play at a higher level in the NFL.
I watched the throw, the quarterback's throw on Saturday, and I was impressed with Josh Allen. As inaccurate as he is, he's just got a cannon and threw that one deep pass down the left seam, which you can almost hear the jaws open when you're watching it on TV.
No pun intended.
he was just teasing us on that one. But Josh Allen, to me, Murph, he really speaks to the difference, and this is the way I've been describing it because I think it makes sense. He speaks to the difference between arm strength and arm talent. I always think of arm strength as the ability to throw with velocity and power and really drive the football, and he can do that as well as anyone we've seen in recent years. I think of arm talent as the more nuanced, subtle kinds of throws, the throws that require pace, touch, timing, anticipation, precise ball placement. Those are the areas in which Allen needs work. And I've talked to a lot of coaches who'd be very excited to coach him because they look at the arm strength and the ability to make any throw, and they love that, and they want to work with him on the other areas in which he needs to improve.
They want to coach him and give him how long to step in and be an NFL starter?
Well, I guess that'll depend, Murph, on where he's drafted. If he gets drafted in the top five, he'll be an NFL starter this year. If he gets drafted, you know, 20 or somewhere in that range, depending on who drafts him, he may not be.
Greg, when we were sitting there talking off air, you said you like to be on the field, and you are on the field at the combine, especially with the quarterbacks. You like to see the ball come out of their hands, and it helps you evaluate these guys. So who impressed you with the ball coming out of their hands on the field? Who impressed you, and who possibly didn't impress you as much?
I thought Baker Mayfield really impressed me seeing him live. He's not a power thrower the way we speak about Josh Allen, but he spins the ball, Donald, really, really well. He's got a compact delivery. It comes out really nicely, and the tape tells you that he's a precise ball placement thrower. He's an accurate thrower of the football. He has a sense of timing within the Oklahoma passing game. And keep in mind, the only way we can judge players, quarterbacks, and how they will run a system is how they run their system in college. We can't say that, oh, well, he won't be able to do this or that. We don't know that. If you run your system in college really effectively, that means he's taking to the coaching that he's receiving in college. And I think Baker Mayfield did that at Oklahoma, and he looked really nice throwing the ball. The two guys I thought did not look good throwing the ball, and this is just combine, so again, that's all we're speaking about, were Mason Rudolph and Luke Falk. And again, I don't know if it impacts their draft status. I tend not to let the combine really impact me that much unless it's an extreme one way or the other. And I wouldn't say Rudolph and Falk were extremes, but they did not look real good throwing the football.
I want to get you back for a second to Baker Mayfield. As you said, and you've said it a couple times now, if you're drafted in the top five, you're going to start right away. But is Baker Mayfield a guy who is ready to do that? I mean, will a team kind of be forced into letting him play if they like him that much, like him as a prospect that much?
I think that would happen, Murph, and I think what you'll see is something similar, maybe not exactly the same, but something similar to what Bill O'Brien did with Deshaun Watson. You'd probably see him in the shotgun more. You'd see the kind of concepts, pass game concepts, where the reads are very defined and the ball can come out with timing and rhythm. Now, obviously, that can't happen on every single play. We know that. It's the NFL. But I think you'll see an offensive structure and an offensive pass game design where they try to do those things and they allow him to be as successful as he realistically can be as a rookie. That's assuming, of course, he's drafted. What do you suggest? High.
Now, Greg, with Baker Mayfield, everybody talks about the height, and there hasn't been too many quarterbacks that have been successful at that height. When you look at him and you watch him on film, you've seen him throw the ball live at the combine, but when you watch him on film, do you feel like that's something that's really going to affect him in the NFL?
Well, I think, Donald, the real interesting point about that, to me, is the changing nature of NFL pass games. Each year, there seem to be more and more throws that are 10 yards and closer to the line of scrimmage in the air. Each year, there's more and more pass games that rely on quick game concepts, three-step drop, quick five-step drop with the ball coming out. those kinds of pass game concepts help a shorter quarterback because the bodies don't get too close to him, so he's not throwing out of a hole with people around him. So I think the changing nature of NFL pass games will help Baker Mayfield. Now, is he the size you would like him to be? Of course not. We know that. But he's a talented kid at the size at which he is, and I think that with the way the NFL pass games are trending, that's not as big a problem as it might have been 10, 12, 15 years ago when he'd probably be a sixth-round afterthought.
Greg, UCLA's Josh Rosen. Everybody says, you know, best arm, prettiest arm, throws the prettiest ball. With all that in mind, his throwing at the combine last Saturday seemed to kind of fit that bill, didn't it? He did exactly what you might anticipate, the guy who's been described as having the most talented arm in this group.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's got the best arm, but I think he's the cleanest quarterback in terms of repetitive mechanics. He's got a very easy, natural throwing motion. It's a good arm, not a power arm. He's a timing anticipation guy. For the most part, he's pretty accurate. Those traits usually, Murph, tend to transition well to the NFL. He's used to NFL pass game concepts. UCLA did a lot of that. So he's the guy that's probably most refined and most advanced when you look at the traits and attributes that I think we all use to sort of evaluate quarterbacks.
Greg, we talked about Lamar Jackson last week. You know, and he decided he wanted to really show that he's a quarterback. He can be a quarterback in this league. He threw at the combine. What'd you see out of Lamar Jackson at the combine?
I think you saw what you'd expect. And by the way, I was actually happy for him that he chose not to run a 40-yard dash because I think, Donald, and you'd probably agree that if he did, that's all people would have spoken about because he probably would have run very, very well. Mm-hmm. Now, he'll be polarizing because of the balance between pocket efficiency, which he still needs work. He still tends to throw with a very narrow base, which impacts his ability to throw with needed velocity and accuracy all the time. So the balance between that and then the second reaction playmaking, which, of course, is high level for him. So he'll be a discussion for a lot of people. But I think, as I said, the way the NFL is trending pass game-wise, I really believe that he's an NFL quarterback. Now, again, now you get into the debate as to when can he be ready to do that. You know, I mentioned Bill O'Brien and Deshaun Watson again. You look at that kind of offense, and I think to myself, why can't Jackson at some point operate that offensive system effectively?
Greg, was there anybody in the top six who helped himself the most last week on the field there in those quarterback drills?
Well, again, one thing that I think the combine is for is also the interviews right. and getting to meet a lot of the kids. So I don't know what happened in those meetings. I would say that Baker Mayfield, if you just look at the football part, I think he helped himself. I think Josh Allen came across really well, too, on the field. You know, everybody knows he has a big arm and he can throw the ball 70 yards. In fact, I spoke to him and he said the longest he's ever thrown a ball is 82 yards. So just think about that for a minute. Not that that makes a guy a great prospect, but that's just one of those fun, meaningless facts.
Yeah.
But I think he really helped himself. I thought he threw the ball well. He was, except for his first throw when he was probably fired up, he was pretty accurate in all the drills.
And one more quarterback question for me, the non, you know, top-tier guys, Luke Falk, Mike White, the Richmond quarterback, LaLetta, any of those guys take a big step forward last week in the quarterback drills?
You know, I don't think anybody took a big step forward. I think they probably did what you'd expect. The guy I'm anxious to see, I watched him last summer, and I haven't gotten back to him since, and I will. But I watched Mike White last summer from his 2016 season. And, you know, he's a good-sized kid. They run the spread down at Western Kentucky, but he's got a good feel for that offense. He's got a pocket quarterback mentality where he'll stand in the pocket, wait until it's late in the down, and deliver the football. I think he's much more of a touch and pace thrower. But he's an interesting guy to me, and I need to look at him again from his 2017 season to see if he improved.
All right, Greg, what about the guys that the quarterbacks were throwing to? I know you've had a good chance to look at some of these wide receivers.
Yeah.
You know, who are some of the receivers that really impressed with 40 times, number one, but then just clean catching the ball on the field?
Well, there's a guy I've seen on film since we spoke last Friday, too, at the combine, and he actually came in bigger than people thought and ran better than people thought, and that's DJ Moore from Maryland, who I've seen now all of his pass targets from 2017 And I think he's really one of the better receiving prospects in this draft class. He has size. He plays with a physical presence. I don't want to compare him to DeAndre Hopkins because those kinds of comparisons, I think, are tough. But Hopkins plays with a physical presence, and I think DJ Moore does as well. I think he has deceptive explosiveness. He has really, really good hands. I think he can line up all over the formation. His transition to me will be really intriguing to watch. He's very smooth, very fluid. He's not sudden the way we think of sudden. So I'm anxious to see what kind of separation quickness he has as a route runner versus quality man-to-man coverage in the NFL. But I really like DJ Moore from Maryland as a prospect.
We're on the line with Greg Cosell. He is executive producer, analyst of NFL Matchup on ESPN, longtime producer, a senior producer at NFL Films. Talking about last week's combine, we've talked about quarterbacks and wide receivers. Of course, the Bills have a need. They have a lot of needs, including front seven help defensively.
Yeah.
Edge rush guys, defensive ends. Bradley Chubb from North Carolina State went into the combine as the, I guess, the consensus as the number one. Is that what you saw when they finally got on the field and did their thing?
Yeah, he's impressive to watch on in person and on tape, and I think he's going to be a really, really good pro. In some ways, he kind of reminds me a little of Khalil Mack, who you guys knew well from college, mm-hmm. and obviously has done very well in the NFL. And he reminds me of him both in terms of physical traits and the ability to line up in multiple positions. And I really like Chubb. He's subtly explosive. You know, people watch him and probably don't think of him as a sort of a true bender the way, you know, someone who you guys are familiar with, certainly you, Murph, Bruce Smith, the way Bruce Smith could get that low. Chubb's not quite that guy, but he's deceptively explosive. And I really like Chubb on tape, and I thought he was really interesting to watch at the combine.
Now, does Chubb have anything to say? We talk so much about Saquon Barkley and the quarterbacks being really all of the top five picks. Does he have something to say about really changing the outlook of that top five and somebody taking him?
Yeah, I mean, again, this is all speculation, but, you know, there's a new coordinator in Indianapolis who comes from Dallas, and that's a 4-3 front now. So Indy's switching to a 4-3 front. And he's spoken quite a bit about the need to get faster, develop more pass rush, quicker athletes. And I think they drafted three. And again, they have a lot of needs, so I'm not drafting for the Colts here, but I think someone like Bradley Chubb would fit this new defensive approach exceptionally well.
Marcus Davenport, Tennessee San Antonio, went to the Senior Bowl in, January, and kind of was an unknown. He's not an unknown anymore, and I think a lot of people were kind of following his progress through the combine last weekend. What did you see there, Greg?
Yeah, he did really, really well at the combine. I mean, his numbers were really, really good. He's really intriguing to me. He's long. He's athletic. He's got point of attack strength. He's got strong hands. He's got good athleticism. He's not a true bender, and some might suggest he's a little stiff, but I think he's so strong, and people will get excited about the explosive athletic numbers he put up at the combine. See, I think there's an example where the combine will help him. Because you watch tape, and even though the tape is very impressive, there are certain athletic things like bend, flexibility, pure explosion that you may not come away from the tape believing that he has, but he did really, really well at the combine. In that regard, he's got really long arms, a tremendous wingspan, and as I said, he plays the game with strong and heavy hands.
You know, it's interesting because at the Senior Bowl, throughout the week at the Senior Bowl, he didn't necessarily have the best practices. And I remember them talking about, you know, he's so raw, he's coming from a small school, and he's just not living up to the hype that everybody was excited about seeing him. But then in practice, he didn't look that good. But then once he got in the game, it was a total different player in the game. And now it seems like people are really impressed with him again.
Well, and I think, Donald, the main issue for him is I watched five full games. That's every snap of five games. Mm-hmm. And he was a two-point stance player. Only once in the five games that I watched, which is a lot of snaps, obviously, did he line up with his hand on the ground. And if you see him as a defensive end in a 4-3, then obviously he will have his hand on the ground, and that will be an adjustment. That's a different world when you're down with your hand on the ground versus standing up where you can see a lot better. So I think it all depends on how teams see him, you know, how they draft him. Do they draft him to be a 3-4 outside linebacker? I don't know. If they draft him to be a 4-3 DN, then there'll be some work to do with his worldview with his hand on the ground.
Talking with Greg Cosell about some of the edge rushers in this year's draft, some of the impressions gained from the combine last week in Indianapolis. Here's a guy, Harold Landry of Boston College, who I think most people view, if he's on the edge, he's on the edge as an outside linebacker, right? A little small. Is that right, Greg?
Yeah, a little smaller. He didn't have a great senior year for any number of reasons. I can't tell you why. I think he was hurt a little bit. But if you go back to 2016, when I believe he had 16 sacks, boy, did he look like a good player. He had great off-the-ball quickness. Now, there's a guy with bend and flexibility, and he had great closing speed. I mean, he almost has a basketball player's build. Even though he's not tall, the build is almost like a basketball player. He's got natural explosion. He's naturally quick. I really liked him on tape from 2016, and I think if you can get back to that, then he's a really intriguing prospect as an edge pass rusher.
I want to ask you about Ohio State guy Sam Hubbard, who is not small and also kind of fits the bill for a edge rush guy, maybe even a first rounder, I would think, huh?
Could be. I mean, you know, I think that he's long, he's athletic, he's got excellent overall movement. Here's a guy that's athletic but not sudden and explosive, and there's a difference. But I think that he's so inexperienced as a football player that people will view his best football being ahead of him. Because here's a guy, guys, he originally signed with Notre Dame on a lacrosse scholarship. So he ended up going to Ohio State, obviously, to play football. But I think he has a chance to be a very good NFL D-end who can rush the quarterback off the edge. Is he a D-end? I imagine most people see him that way. But there were times I also thought there was some Ryan Kerrigan in his play. And Ryan Kerrigan in base is a 3-4 outside linebacker for the Redskins.
Hey, Greg, I want to ask you about another prospect. And he's, to me, one of the most intriguing prospects for obvious reasons. And that's Shaquem Griffin. And he runs the 4.38, has a pretty good combine. Did that make you? I'm not sure if you had a chance to watch him on film, but I'm sure that combine will make you go back and watch the film.
Yeah, I haven't seen enough of him, Donald. He's a guy I have to get to. So I can't speak a lot. He's a guy that basically, you know, I've seen a little bit of him. He plays almost like a hybrid linebacker safety. Mm-hmm. He was used as an edge rusher in some of their sub packages. He's got definite burst and speed to challenge the edge. I saw some moves with him as a pass rusher. He certainly showed some explosive movement traits as a straight line speed athlete on tape, which again was validated at the combine when he ran a 4.38, which was ridiculous. He clearly has excellent play speed on tape, and he made a lot of plays as a run and chase kind of player. So the player is very interesting on tape. I can't begin to speak how teams will see him. To him, it's not a limitation at all or an impediment. I don't know how other people will feel about it.
Yeah.
And the other guy who I guess you'd have to say was the star, Saquon Barkley, the running back from Penn State. Many people think he could go number one overall.
That gets into that great discussion about the value of running backs.
Right.
But, you know, the guy is likely a game changer. And I had a great conversation with your buddy, Bill Polian, and he basically said point blank to me, which I agree with, that, you know, you don't pass up game changers. Right. So it's easy to say, well, you know, running backs are not the driving force of championship teams. That's easy to say. But if there's a game changer, it's hard to pass them up.
Yeah, it is hard to pass them up. And, you know, I think, you know, we always talk life is about timing. I think he's got perfect timing in a draft where the Browns are sitting at 1-4. So right. With him having that combine, it makes sense for them to take him because they could still get a quarterback at number 4. If they didn't have the number 4 overall pick, I don't think we'd be talking about him going number 1 overall.
No, well, and it all depends on how they feel, Donald, obviously, about the quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. If there's one guy they absolutely love above all others, they've got to take that guy at 1. Mm-hmm. If they're lukewarm on or if they view 2 or 3 guys relatively equally, then it makes perfect sense to take Barkley at 1 because you're going to get one of those quarterbacks at 4.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Greg, before we let you go, and you've gone to the combine now for years, maybe decades, what's changed
aged you, Greg. aged you.
I've gone for a while myself. But what's changed about the value of the combine? Do you think teams are handling it differently or getting different things out of the combine now than maybe they did several years ago?
I don't know if they're getting different things out of it. I think if you talk to most coaches and personnel people, Murph, they'll tell you that it's really more about the interviews and the medicals because, you know, now that it's televised, and maybe that's the difference, they can watch a lot of this stuff on TV. They get the results and they get to see the visuals. They probably get digital outputs of it all, which they didn't, of course, years and years ago. My sense is, though, as far as the on the field, they probably don't view that as quite as important as the medicals and the visits with the players.
Hey, Greg, I got a question for you, and this is outside the combine in the NFL. You're going to a special event tonight, the Maxwell Football Awards.
Oh, yeah, it's one of my favorite events, the Maxwell Club Dinner in Atlantic City. I've been going for years. They tell me, Donald, I'm a VIP. I don't know what that means, but, you know, if they tell me, I'll accept that. See, what it means, though, is I have to wear a tux.
Hmm. So
that's really all it means.
Did you go get a new tux? Did you just take yours to the dry cleaners? How'd that work for you?
No. I bought a tux late last year because I had a family wedding, and then I also needed it because my older daughter's getting married in 22 days, so I need a tux.
You're going to go to that thing tonight. They're just going to sing Fly, Eagles, Fly over and over again, aren't they, Greg? That's all it is tonight.
Well, I imagine we'll hear that a few times, Murph. Yeah.
Have fun at that. Greg, thanks for this. We'll talk again next week.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Thanks. Greg Cosell, executive producer, analyst for NFL Matchup on ESPN, longtime senior producer for NFL Film. It's good to get away from the quarterbacks a little bit, Donald. We don't always have to talk about quarterbacks. Come on now.
I mean,
how many times do I have to tell you? It's not just about the quarterback. No, it's not.
The Bills certainly need more than just a quarterback.
Yes, they do.
So
it's good to talk about some of the edge rush guys, pass rushers.
And that's what they need.
Yes.
That's what they need. They have to solidify that side of the ball. Your defense has to be a good defense in this league, because if you don't have a good defense and you find yourself having to score 40 points a game, it's tough to do week in and week out.
Yeah.
And so you need to make sure that your defense is good. Even if you have a franchise quarterback, your defense still needs to be a very good defense in this league. You
not
see it
all
in the
about
playoffs.
The quarterbacks. No, not all about the quarterbacks. Hey, Donald, when you played, your family, I'm sure, had your back, right? Noticing things were said and your mom probably got involved a couple of times. Why would they write that about you? Why would those radio guys?
She would call me.
Uh-huh.
She wouldn't call, anybody else. Uh-huh. She would call me. But, yeah, they definitely get upset. And I have to tell them, stop reading that stuff.
Right.
Stop listening to that
stuff.
But
they can't.
They can't. It's like it's
The reason I asked, Muhammad Wilkerson, now a free agent, former Jets defensive lineman, his mother got involved with WFAN this morning. Trying to defend her son. We're going to hear what she had to say when she called the radio talk show in New York. It's pretty funny. That's coming up next. Come on back for that. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. Donald and I here until 3. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones here live in our One Buffalo studio. Again, our thanks to Greg Cosell for joining us.
Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Greg. We have Cynthia Freeland coming up at 2 o'clock. She's got some again, we're kind of backtracking on the combine a little bit, but she's got some interesting connections between combine performances and what those players actually do on the field. That's coming up. We're also talking about free agency. We're 5 days away. Our Twitter question today, not necessarily a poll. Love to get you in on this, though. Our Twitter question today, 5 days until NFL free agency. Any moves you think are going to be surprising? Any moves you think are going to be the top news when we get to free agency? Donald and I went through our lists of five each. Free agent moves that could have the biggest impact in the NFL. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Donald.
Yes, sir.
I like that.
Make sure.
No, I want to make sure you're listening. You were listening, right?
I was listening.
Muhammad Wilkerson, very fine player, New York Jets. He's had a good career. They let him go. He's been a problem down there. 28-year-old defensive lineman. Visited the Packers the other day on his way to New Orleans. Maybe he'll sign there. Fell out of favor with the Jets for a lot of issues, but he is 18th ranked on the NFL.com list of 101 free agents.
Mm-hmm.
He'll make a difference wherever he goes.
Oh, yeah, he's a top guy.
In the meantime, back in New York, some of the media, including our buddy Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News, Manish Mehta said, Wilkerson is getting, he tweeted this, Wilkerson is getting some terrible advice the last place he should be near, given his issues with alcohol, is Bourbon Street, French Quarter. Who is advising this guy? This is after Ian Rappaport reported yesterday that Wilkerson was on his way to New Orleans. Kind of a cheap shot.
Is he doing that for clicks? He got to be doing this for likes and retweets.
Meta?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's how they do it, right? This is your generation.
This is my generation. And it's funny, like, if you go and look at the responses from, like, Jets fans, I mean, you have some good ones and you got some really bad ones to his actual tweet. Like, we don't like you.
Yeah.
You know, and there are a lot of people who don't like Manish Mehta down there. But I think that's a cheap shot at a guy.
Me too.
You know, I truly think that's a cheap shot. You don't know if this guy's an alcoholic. How do you take a shot at a guy like that?
Even if
a guy had an incident where, and I don't think he's ever had a DUI or anything like that, but, I mean, how do you say that this guy's an alcoholic in the public eye? And you tweet something like that, you're a reporter, and you tweet something like that. And, no, that's horrible.
You know who else thought it was horrible? Muhammad Wilkerson's mother.
That's right.
Wilkerson's mother. She called WFAN in New York today. I believe it was today, right? Manish Mehta was on the radio show today. I believe it was today. And she called to defend her son. Here's what it sounded like. This is Muhammad Wilkerson's mother addressing Manish Mehta's criticism of her son on WFAN radio in New York.
I am livid. Manish has never, ever liked Muhammad. He may have met him in Temple, but he's always written horrible things about my son. Muhammad does not pay Manish any attention. So, therefore, he always has something against him. Where's his proof? Where's your proof, Manish, that Muhammad is an alcoholic? Like, really? You always say all these things. I can't tell you, Boomer, how. I'm just livid. I'm just livid with him. Like, why do you keep saying these things about my son? The Jets released him. He's moved on. So let's just let it go. Let's just let it go. He's out against him. I think we should contact our attorney. And because this is ridiculous with Manish. You just continue to say stuff about him. You didn't like Geno. You didn't like Darrell. You didn't like Antonio Holmes. You always played Muhammad against Sheldon. Always. Always. He just always has something negative to say about Muhammad. You called him a fat slob. You say he's out of shape. You said all these things. All these things you said about Muhammad. What's your problem, Manish? What's your problem? What's your problem with Muhammad? I know that the Jets organization, some of them don't even want you to come in the building.
Man, nothing like a mother's love. Yeah. Isn't that great? I mean, she just took him apart, Manish Mehta, from the New York Daily News. Yeah, upset, yeah,
Mama
clearly.
Wilkerson, you know, Muhammad being from the same area as me, I've had a chance to meet he and his family, and his mom does not play around. You know, she's outspoken. She says what she feels. It doesn't even shock me that she decided, I'm calling the radio to say it like it is. And it wouldn't shock me if they got their lawyers involved, to be honest with you, defamation of character or something like that, just to get Manish tied up in some litigation. Like, no, we're going to go at you for this. You call a guy, you're fat, you're out of shape. That's kind of like normal stuff in the New York media.
Yeah.
But when you start to threaten a guy and say, well, he's an alcoholic, you know, those are things that a team might give pause to. And that's something that, you know, he would be upset. Muhammad Wilkerson, his mom would be upset. Yeah, how do you – where's your proof that I'm an alcoholic?
Yeah.
Like, where do you – I have kids. Like, why do you start saying things like this about me when you don't even know me like that to that extent?
You know who loves all this? Manish Mehta.
Oh, I know he does. He loves it. He loves it.
Seriously.
His name right now is
– oh, it's great.
Yeah.
The mothers are mad at me. Are you kidding me? That's gold for a guy like that in a market like that. That's gold, I think.
And it really, especially New York City market. Oh yeah.
Yeah,
oh yeah. I mean, there's so many reporters, so you do what you got to do to have your name be talked about the most.
Right.
And so that's why he's always Manish. That's his business model. It's the same thing as what's his name from First Take? Because now he's on Fox. Skip Bayless.
Oh yeah,
Skip Bayless. You know, everything is negative about the biggest players, whether it's LeBron, Steph Curry, whatever it is. It's always something negative, a hot take, and that's his business model. And everybody's like, "What are you talking about?" And your name is always out there because you're the one that's saying something negative about, you know, the top guys that everybody loves in the country. And so, That's Manish Mehta's his business model, and it's working for him right now.
Yeah, thanks to Mrs. Wilkerson. I just thought that was interesting stuff.
I tell you, now, my mom wouldn't call anybody.
Yeah.
She would call me and go off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Mom, you know he wrote this about me, right? I mean, there's no reason to vent to me. I know. Yeah. He's actually talking about me. But she would never call, but Mom and Wilkerson's mom, and there's probably some other moms out there that would call up and have something to say.
Would your family, mother or whomever, like if you're walking down a hallway at a stadium and Manish Mehta had written something about you, would they stop and confront him and say, hey, I want to talk to you about what you wrote about Donald?
My mom wouldn't.
No?
My mom would. My uncles might. Yeah. I got some uncles that on my dad's side, they might. And they're some big dudes. So it might – not that they would do anything to them. But they would make it seem like they're going to do something to him just to scare him. Yeah. You know, those are the types of dudes that there are, just in his face looking down. I'm sure Manish is a smaller person, not as big as my uncles.
I saw Manish at the combine last week.
Did you?
I didn't see him.
He's
a guy.
So, yeah, they would definitely say something. My mom wouldn't know. She's not that type of person.
Mrs. Wilkerson did. Hey, we're talking about free agents, what the Bills should do. What some of the big moves are to come. Here's a call from Jerry in Rochester. Go ahead, Jerry. You're on the air with us.
Hi, guys. Welcome back, Murph.
Thank you.
I just had a question. If I could get back to the draft for a minute, please.
Sure.
I saw one mock draft that has this with the 21st pick, and I hope they stay there. What is it? Lashard Evans, middle linebacker of Alabama, 21st pick.
Yep.
And maybe Lamar Jackson with the 22nd pick. Do you guys like that combination, or do you prefer someone else?
I mean,
if they even stay with there.
I haven't gotten into looking at these linebackers in the draft because all we get to talk about here is quarterbacks.
Not really.
I mean, it's really bad because, you know, it's like you really just get caught up in quarterback. You don't get to look at running backs, receivers, which the Bills need. It's just all about the quarterbacks. But, you know, I from watching him at the combine and listening to those guys talk about him, he was a good player. You come in, you know, you're a middle linebacker from Nick Saban's defense, you're a pretty good player. Those guys pump out some good linebackers every year. They have one coming out. And so, who knows, he probably is a good one. For me, you talk about middle linebacker, I highly doubt that he'll be on the board. Or just the linebacker position in general, I highly doubt he'd be on the board. It was Roquan Smith. I like that kid. I watched him play in the playoffs, and that dude moves sideline to sideline. Like, that's the type of dude that Coach McDermott likes. Speed, the dude that's going to go and hit sideline to sideline, but he just won't be there. He's going to be gone, and so will Tremaine Edmonds from Virginia Tech.
Be gone by 21?
Yeah. Now, Leighton Vander Esch might still be there. He's a big physical linebacker. I think he proved he can go sideline to sideline with the shuttle times and things like that. He might be a guy as we get through the pro days that creeps up into the first round and, you know, might make sense for the Bills.
Let's take a call here from Chris in Derby, New York. Chris, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Hey, you guys were talking about your free agent take. So I think if Breeze does leave New Orleans, that leaves the door open for Cousins to go there. And maybe then Breeze goes to Denver, and that just shakes up the quarterback market for everybody, really.
Yeah,
and I also think Watt might go to Baltimore because they're desperate for a number one, and he wants to prove he could be a number one.
Who might go to Baltimore? I missed that. Watkins?
Yeah.
Watkins goes to
Baltimore. Yeah, I didn't think about that one. I would bet that Breeze is going to sign with New Orleans, but the closer we get to next Wednesday, and it is Wednesday, not Monday, the more I think you have to start to entertain the possibility that Drew Brees doesn't sign with the Saints. And you're right. That would totally throw everything up in the air. It would be crazy if Brees is out there.
That would throw everything off. First, you have to go through this whole the end of an era in New Orleans on ESPN. You know, they have a whole 30 for 30 on it. And then, you know, you'll start to see the rest of the chips fall into place. And that would be Drew Brees first, then Kirk Cousins, and then everybody else behind him. That would shake everything up.
Here's a call from Mike in Oakville, Ontario. Go ahead, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Murph. Donald, thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener. First-time caller to your show.
Well, thank you.
Guys, I just wanted to touch on Nick Foles. I remember at the end of the Super Bowl saying that he wouldn't play for any other team and any other coach. I don't know if I was alone, but could the Bills – is he even up for trade or is he – you know, because that's what I remember him saying on the podium when they won the Super Bowl, and that could be euphoria and happiness and, you know, but I'd love to see that guy. If we're going to go quarterback route, let's go free agency or trade for him.
Yeah. This is a guy, Donald Jones, who 2 weeks ago said, no way Nick Foles is going anywhere.
It's hard for me to – now, anything can happen in this league. If you offer enough, a team is going to go for it. And if they feel like Carson Wentz is ready for the first game of the season, then you could see it happening. But if they don't feel like he's ready, I don't see – it just wouldn't make sense to let go of Nick Foles.
Yeah.
Until Carson Wentz is back and has shown you my knee is fine and I'm ready to go. And then you can trade Nick Foles if he's still playing well. But it's hard for me to see that happening until you are sure about Carson Wentz's knee.
I agree with you. And I think you could wait if you're the Eagles. What's the rush? I mean, there's an asset there you could exploit. But your biggest asset is winning games right now. You're Super Bowl champions, defending Super Bowl champions. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't put that at risk. You know, yeah, you'd like to get a draft pick. You know, so you'd probably like to get a draft pick in 2019, too, if you wait until the trade deadline. And if Foles plays and plays okay, you might have the opportunity to do that.
You might. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with him, but the Eagles are working right now.
Yeah. What do you got?
The Eagles trade Torrey Smith, the wide receiver, for cornerback Darryl Worley from the Panthers. So, you know, that's two wide receivers that they have shipped out of Philadelphia now, and it's going to be interesting to see the rest of these trades. There's like trade after trade after trade in the NFL. And we're coming to free agency where guys just get signed and we're seeing trades like it's the NBA.
It's crazy. Different.
Yeah.
We talked about it. We'll talk more about that.
We talked about this.
We did. And we'll talk more. We're going to break. We're back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy and Donald Jones coming to you live from One Bills Drive. What do you got over there, Donald? Salad? You just brought a salad in over there.
Yeah, I mean, I walked back there and I was starving.
Where'd that come from?
Because I'm usually starving because
Lunchtime?
Yeah, it's lunchtime. And I walked back there and it's like a big bowl of rice and a big bowl of salad.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and so, you know, I figured that I'd dip my toes in it a little bit.
Don't get your toes in it, please.
No, but it's good, too. I mean, there was some salad dressing in the fridge. Man, those guys come through in the other room for us. Thank you, JJ.
Hey, did you see this?
And George. You got to thank George.
Did you see this on NFL Network the other day? Baker Mayfield was on after his successful combine, Oklahoma quarterback, standing with LaDainian Tomlinson. And Baker Mayfield was throwing the ball into bins. And, in the nets, and he threw one into the Cleveland Browns net. And he threw one into the New York Jets net. They were just nets with the Los Angeles Chargers net, basically nets with NFL logos on them. Mm-hmm. Miami Dolphins net. He was hitting them. And it looked like about, 25 yards away?
Yeah.
He was drilling them into every net. And then the last net standing was the hometown Buffalo Bills.
Right.
And he missed. Twice. Baker Mayfield missed twice.
He missed twice.
Yeah. Danelian Tomlinson and him in an accuracy challenge. Now, they laughed as if Tomlinson hit the Bills.
Yeah, he hit the Bills.
Baker Mayfield missed.
Baker Mayfield missed twice. I don't know. You think he tried to miss it? That one looked like he actually hit it, but you think he tried to miss it?
I hope not. He shouldn't have an issue playing with the Buffalo Bills.
I don't know. I mean, those guys have Baker Mayfield and the rest of the guys are just – they're on the media tours now. They're going to be doing a lot of traveling over the next month until the draft. I'm just joking when I say I think he missed on purpose. No, I'm pretty sure he tried to hit it, but it just shows that his accuracy is a little bit off. It's not as good as we all think it is.
When do they start the 30 visits? Not yet, right? But soon?
No, it'll be soon. After his pro day.
After the pro day? Yeah. Okay. Look forward to seeing if we ever find out. We probably won't.
If he comes here?
Yeah, we probably won't find who they have in here.
We wouldn't find out.
But that'd be good to know which quarterbacks are coming in here. Call here from Sean in Greenville, South Carolina. Hello, Sean.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Good. I heard Donald talk earlier saying that he didn't we hadn't had a chance to discuss a lot of other draft prospects other than quarterbacks, understandably. But I just wanted to hit on a couple guys that, that aren't quarterbacks that might be in the cards for Buffalo later on down the line, starting with Harrison Phillips at 21 or 22 if they decide to go defense, not trade up for a quarterback. I don't know. I've watched a lot of it. I think he's a good player fit for us, wrestling background and everything. I think he would fit well in that Kyle Williams mold. Also, you were talking about linebacker and the kid from Boise State.
Mm-hmm. Who, Andrews.
You know, I'm not a big fan of. One-year producer. But if you were to go deeper in the draft, fourth, fifth round area, depending on how he grades out, Sky Moore from South Carolina would be an interesting guy to bring in. He's all-time leader in interceptions for a linebacker in school history. So you got a guy with some range and coverage ability that we don't have right now in Preston Brown or Ramon Humber. So somebody else to look at there. And then a couple of receivers. I really like a local guy from up there, Steve Ishmael from Syracuse, who doesn't seem to be getting any sort of press whatsoever. And also Equanimee St. Brown from Notre Dame. So if you guys have any thoughts on that, I'd love to hear them.
You know, the kid out of Syracuse I've heard about, I've heard about him from people who really, really study the draft, mm-hmm. but I haven't heard any press on him. The kid out of Notre Dame had a decent combine, and I'm not sure, I'm pretty sure they're going to draft the receiver. I'm not sure where, though. I'm not sure if it's first round, if it's second round, third round, if it's later in the draft.
I'd be surprised if it was earlier than the third round.
You think so?
Yeah, I'd be surprised because I think they have other more pressing needs.
Like defense
and quarterback. And you'll get the premium guys, you know, the quarterbacks in the early rounds if you really want to make that move. But, no, I'd be surprised if they got a receiver before the third round. I do like Harrison Phillips a lot. My friend Mark Gaughan at the Buffalo News, I think it was Mark, wrote a really good piece on him. Stanford defensive tackle. Mm-hmm. Mentioned how he was a little bit like Kyle Williams, and they may be looking to replace Kyle Williams sooner rather than later. And I don't know if would that be a sexy pick? Would that be a pick that everybody will jump up and down about if, on Thursday, April 26th?
Nope.
Might be the right pick, though, for the Bills.
Yep.
When we come back next hour, we're going to talk with Cynthia Freeland from NFL Network. She's got some, you know, she's an analytics expert. She's got some interesting trends she found in analytics studies of what prospects do in the combine and how their NFL careers turn out. We'll talk with her about that and a lot more. She's going to join us when we come back. It is the John Murphy Show with Donald Jones. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports. Update
from One Bills Drive, NFL free agency 5 days away. The Bills made a move late yesterday, signing a new defensive end, a street free agent, Owa Odigizuwa, former New York Giant, former third-round pick of the New York Giants out of UCLA. Agreed to terms with the Buffalo Bills. Odigizuwa, 25 years of age, ran a 4.62 40-yard dash at the combine and has a 39-inch vertical leap. 6'3", 267 pounds, did not play for the Giants last year. Owa Odigizuwa is now a Buffalo Bill. The Seattle Seahawks have told Richard Sherman that he will be released by the team. His future was in question going back to last offseason. The talented cornerback will turn 30 years old at the end of March, going into the final year of a four-year, $56 million contract extension. Meantime, Adam Schefter of ESPN says the Panthers are trading cornerback Darrell Worley to the Philadelphia Eagles in exchange for wide receiver Torrey Smith. The deal will provide the Eagles some cap relief while strengthening their cornerback depth. The Panthers get a proven veteran receiver, which was high on their list of offseason needs. Denver Broncos are trading Pro Bowl cornerback Aqib Talib to the L.A. Rams when the league year opens next Wednesday. Broncos will get a fifth-round pick in 2018 for Talib. And Ryan Fitzpatrick has re-signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a one-year deal. He's 35 years old, the former Bills quarterback brought in last year to back up Jameis Winston. He'll do it again this year. College basketball tonight at 6. St. Bonaventure plays its first game in the Atlantic 10 Conference Basketball Tournament, Capital One Arena in Washington, 6 p.m. The Bonnies play Richmond. The game will be televised on NBC Sports Network. The Bonnies' 12-game win streak, second longest win streak in Division I college basketball. UB Bulls play tonight. They'll play Kent State, 6:30 on CBS Sports Network. UB advanced with an 89-74 win in the Mid-American Conference Tournament yesterday afternoon over Central Michigan. The Bulls signed head coach Nate Oates to a 5-year contract extension. It runs through the 2023 season. And the Buffalo Sabres in action tomorrow afternoon 1 o'clock at home against the Las Vegas Golden Knights at the KeyBank Center. John Murphy, Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio here in Orchard Park. The snow is falling. It's a beautiful winter day here in Orchard Park. The problem is, Donald, we're all sick of winter. It's March
9th. We are sick of winter.
Come on, man. We don't want snow.
Come on, man.
I'm starting to sound like you.
See, I just got to a little bit earlier. I was sick of it a little bit earlier.
Hey, joining us right now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, a qualified expert on NFL analytics and a good friend of the show. She is an NFL Network correspondent. You can see her on game day morning. Cynthia Freeland joins us on the line. Cynthia, John Murphy and Donald Jones up here in snowy Buffalo. Thanks for joining us. I'm guessing you're out west somewhere, right?
Yeah, you should come to California. It's not so snowy here.
Yeah, Donald will be on the next flight.
I sure will.
Thanks.
I missed you guys at the Combine this year.
You know, yeah, where were you?
Were you there?
You were there, I know, but yeah. Were you in a studio somewhere? We didn't see you in the media area. Were you there?
Yeah, I was actually, our studio was like in the bottom of the Lucas Oil Stadium, so I spent a lot of time in there because I know you understand this life. My interviews were all at weird times, mm-hmm. You know, like 7 in the morning and then 1 in the afternoon, so going back and forth was a little insane.
Yeah. Well, we missed you, but we know you had a lot of...
I know. It's a bummer.
You have a lot of good takes from the Combine, and I wondered, you know, what you saw. You've done a pretty interesting study on a predictive model, the Combine, and what it says about how players might turn out in the NFL. Can you talk about that a little bit with us, Cynthia?
Well, I'm going to give away, like, the lead here. I'm not bearing the lead here at all. And ultimately, the Combine tells us, and Donald will affirm this for me, that it really doesn't tell us much. It only tells us kind of outliers, you know, too high or too low, or, you know, things that we didn't expect to happen makes people go back and look at the tape again. But apart from that, it kind of just confirms the things that we thought that we saw before, you know, that teams think that they saw on tape or, you know, denies them. And some people get another look because they have a great workout, or some people are like, why is he so slow? Stuff like that.
Anybody at last week's Combine that you thought maybe outperformed what the expectations were?
Well, I think Saquon Barkley, we all knew he was going to be the top prospect, but, I mean, he just, like, jumped out of the gym. His results were insane. Obviously, you know, we saw the top guys kind of did what they thought they would do, and all of the Penn State guys, the Penn State strength and conditioning coach, really needs to get a raise because every single one of those Penn State guys really just crushed it. Like, their results were amazing. And I also liked Christian Kirk, the wide receiver. I know he's not the number one prospect, but for me, he had a great workout, and I really liked, like, I heard a lot of great things about him in his interviews. There's just a lot of great stuff about him, too, that he was kind of one underrated one that we didn't hear about because, you know, the cornerbacks, everyone saw how fast they were. They just blazed it, so.
Right.
Yeah.
And Cynthia, in your predictive analysis, you know, people will often look at the Combine and point to guys who were stars at the Combine and blew everybody away at the Combine and yet never became good NFL players. Yes, I'm thinking about Mike Mamula. But you're saying your analysis showed that you can look at it, maybe after a player has established himself in the NFL, you can go back and look in the Combine and see how they kind of, you know, checked off boxes to let us know that they were going to be that type of player. Is that overstating it?
So here's the way I looked at it, and I absolutely want your opinion on this because I love it. So the way I modeled it is I took what people did in the NFL. So I went backwards. So like instead of caring about where they came from college-wise, I took everyone in the NFL and I worked with a bunch of coaches to create paradigms at each position. So, you know, for example, a guy had 3 playing years to kind of, quote, become who he would be, right? And then in each position, we created a list of criteria that made them elite, above average, average, below average, or well below average. So it's just a bucket. It's not ranking number 1 versus number 2, but rather, you know, styling people into, you know, clusters. So then I took who they were in the NFL, who they became, and then I went backwards. I looked at the Combine. I looked at as much college data as I could find on them. And then I even asked coaches, like, hey, am I doing this right? Like, what am I missing? Because Dom Capers runs his defense significantly different than, you know, Rex Ryan did. So all of these things kind of come into play, and I asked those coaches again to help me make sure, like, my NFL model worked out. And then once you look backwards on things, you can look at people now who are coming out and see, okay, they have like a 20% chance to become average, 22% kind of based on the model chance to become above average. And you get kind of a like a little bit of a percent chance they end up in each bucket for each new prospect. Does that make sense?
No, that makes sense. Now, when you're looking at guys and these guys put up great numbers at the Combine, like you know, you talked about a Julio Jones or this year a Saquon Barkley.
Julio Jones, like the prototype. Yep.
Yeah, he's the prototype. Now, what about the guys who weren't the prototype? Guys that had bad numbers at the combine but become very good players in the NFL and defy the odds or defy
those
numbers?
So for me, there's – totally. To me, there's like ranges that where there's diminishing returns, and you can vouch for this too. A guy who blazes it in the combine, like it went, so if you run your 40 and it's 4.38 and some guy runs a 4.40, like you're not better. Like it's like that doesn't necessarily translate to pad speed,
right?
So in reality, there's kind of a range where most of them fall within, and it kind of follows like trajectories based on position. So for running backs, you know, the kind of prototype, most likely when guys are very successful in the NFL, when you go backwards, they've fallen between 5'11 and 6'1. They're about 200 pounds. They run about, you know, I can give you the exact, like, in-betweens, and there's really diminishing returns otherwise. Now, when you look to see people who fall outside of those ranges, then they have something interesting, like they're extra tall or, you know, they're usually, like, their broad jump was amazing. So they're not always out of range. It's just we tend to overstate the 40 as like, because it's the most exciting one to watch, of course. And so they're not usually out of range in other things. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. What makes Julio Jones a prototype? I mean, what is there one characteristic he has that makes him sort of the model, you know, the prototype for this?
So wide receivers come in different body types because, you know, there's different types of routes. So for example, when it comes to Julio Jones, he kind of, like, if you put the things that matter for a wide receiver, like lower body explosiveness, speed, and then, you know, body control, right? So if you look at those things and you say, like, what did he do in the combine? His results kind of optimized for he was tall, and he was very fast, and Calvin Johnson was like that too. But then Julio Jones also, like, his vert was ridiculous, and his broad jump was ridiculous. Like, so he kind of had, like, on all of the areas that are kind of the most important drills for wide receivers, he had the highest scores in each one, if you will.
On the Subway Fresh Take Hotline with Cynthia Freeland, who covers analytics for the NFL Network, host of Game Theory and Money Podcast. Hey, Cynthia, I want to ask you, are there, you know, people make fun of the combine sometimes, look at some of the drills, you know, broad jump and others, and say, what does this have to do with playing football? You've broken it down and found that certain drills, certain tests they go through on the field actually do have a meaning when it comes to particular positions, right?
Yes, so you're going to like this one about offensive linemen. I spent a lot of time, like several years, using computer vision. So, like, that's when you take, you know, you take all your all 22s and, like, the computer can measure where a lineman's thumb, like, as in their backside, and their feet, and where the quarterback is, and where their center of gravity is. So if you measure your shoulders and your hips and your knees and your feet, you can get a sense of leverage, right?
Right.
So if you look to see kind of who they became in the NFL, then map it backwards. A lot of the guys, offensive linemen, tackles and guards, just don't – it's different for centers. I haven't been able to get a good enough correlation for centers yet. But for tackles and guards, if you can keep your bum down for the first 10 split of the 40, it actually projects for guys who are less waistbenders. So the more you can keep your bum down in the first 10 split of the 40, the less likely you are to become a waistbender in the league.
Wow. That's interesting. Because I heard a lot of people last week, a lot of NFL people say they just watched the first 10 yards of the 40.
Oh,
that
yeah.
might be part of what they're looking at, huh?
Yep. Well, because if your lineman's running 40 yards, like that's just you, it's like you got a lot of other problems.
Yeah, you don't do that. Yeah.
No. But if you keep – like I did – I went to the Sloan Conference, and it was really an awesome opportunity to actually give like a presentation about some of my findings as opposed to – you know, sitting on a panel is amazing, but, like, I, you know, got the chance to actually give a presentation. I think you can find it online, actually. And I kind of showed, like, how I measured it, right? And then I showed, like, the one, you know, obviously it's a function of your height, right? Like, so Taylor Lewan, who's 6'7", versus Richie Incognito, who I can't remember his exact height, but he's, like, I think he's 6'5". So even that 2 inches is very different. But both of them keep their hips down at, like, a very high, like, you know, very strongly correlated to success. And you see that, like, you don't often see either one of those players on their bum, falling on their bum.
Yeah.
Cynthia, you know, I always bring it back to wide receivers because it's the sexiest
because
position.
Because why wouldn't you?
I mean, it's the sexiest position in the NFL. I'm just saying.
Obviously.
Yeah, sure.
Are you afraid of this corner class? I mean, this corner class is, like, these defensive backs were just, they had amazing workouts. The body control is great. That's a good crop.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you look at the numbers, and I mean, you had a bunch of guys go under 4.4, sub 4.4. So you're like, man, these dudes can fly. But for you, I mean, you're not just looking at the 40. And everybody gets caught up in the 40. The
one
thing that they don't show at the combine, on TV at least, which I'm sure you probably pay attention to and the coaches and scouts do, is like the short shuttle and the three-cone drill. And that's something that you need for a corner because you need to be quick as well. Not just fast, but quick. And it's the same for a slot receiver.
So for me, when I'm watching the stuff, the stuff that's interesting for me is it's kind of a function of, so here's how it blends together. For wide receivers and defensive backs, they kind of took like a version of the same thing because to me it's like in basketball, right? Like who's your matchup and who gets the edge? So I do like a jump ball metric. So I took on the field attributes, so how high you can jump plus like, you know, where your arms, because just because you have long arms doesn't mean that when you're wearing pads they can stretch out that far. So I kind of took like where does the ball come and what happens to players on the field versus a corner. So an average wide receiver is a bit taller than an average corner at by route. Mm-hmm. Just happens to be that way over the past 10 years. But the average corner can jump about an inch and a half higher than the average wide receiver by route. Like it's obviously different by particular route, but if you're just saying the tall guys versus the shorter guys, right? So if you're looking at that, then you know you're trying to see who wins the jump ball. So that's, and you look at your footwork and you look at like what they did on the short shuttle, what they did on that, the ball on the stick drill where like, you know, the defensive backs have to like follow like this ball on a stick.
Right.
Back in, you know what I'm talking about.
Cynthia, can I just say the fact that you actually say bum is just, like, refreshing to me.
What do you want her to say?
I don't know. It's just the fact that she says bum instead of, you know, something else. It's just refreshing to me. I don't know.
I mean, like, at Sloan, it was funny because this guy who gave a presentation before me who works for the Vikings, super polished presentation. It was about, like, marketing. It was amazing. And then I get up there, and there's, like, squiggly lines drawn on a bunch of O-linemen's bums. I was like, oh, Lord, this is embarrassing.
We're with Cynthia Freeland, who covers analytics for the NFL Network. She's part of their game day morning show on a regular basis. You know what I like about talking to you, Cynthia? People say analytics, and they think, yeah, analytics, let's not punt on fourth down anymore. Analytics have something to do with the draft. In fact, maybe more value when you start comparing – you know, the parameters of what a draft pick is like at a certain position. I mean, this is, to me, this is really how analytics can be very, very valuable.
Oh, and in this free agency, especially, like creating a strategy that's cohesive, that you get the best, the optimal number of the best players possible. This year is fascinating because we've never really seen such a, like, interesting, you know, free agent quarterback market. So that, like, dictates everything from what's going to happen next week when the league year starts to who gets drafted where to what's going to, like, there's so many dynamics this year that I don't know. To me, it feels like kind of the most interesting one that I can remember.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's been free agents, big free agents before, but this quarterback cascade seems to be kind of just huge.
And yet what is there after Kirk Cousins? Isn't it a kind of a pedestrian group of quarterbacks, would you think, Cynthia?
Well, I don't know if I think – I don't know, because in terms of, like, the actual guys who you're thinking of right now, but I wouldn't put it past the league to have some really interesting trades on people who are not necessarily free agents. I wouldn't put it past – like, and I'm not talking about Nick Foles. I don't think he goes anywhere. But, like, you know, Case Keenum, they obviously – it seems like Minnesota's giving signs that, I mean, they didn't franchise tag him, so it seems like they're shopping, you know, they're shopping the idea of Kirk Cousins there is what we've all been hearing. But Case Keenum's really good. Like, I went back and did a lot of work on Case Keenum, and then I talked to a bunch of people last week who basically told me that it's like, you know, Kirk Cousins is one, the best one, and then Case Keenum's 1A, and not like a big drop-off between the two. So between trades that could potentially happen – and Case Keenum, I think there's more. And by the way, all of the teams that need a quarterback, the Cardinals don't even have one on their depth chart.
Right.
So,
yeah, and there might be more changes. You're right. I mean, the Bills' own Tyrod Taylor could wind up as a free agent 5-6 days away.
That's right. They could certainly do that. I think there's a lot that's up for grabs.
What about AJ McCarron? Where does he come into place? Where is he ranked in your eyes?
You know, I have, to be honest with you, he has the limited number of snaps that he's taken has not been something like, you know, we thought we couldn't project Jimmy Garoppolo's success very well with four games. Like, try, you know, dialing that back to the, like, 10 snaps that A.J. McCarron's taken. Okay, that's being a little dramatic. But ultimately, this is like, this would be one of those things, in my opinion, where, you know, like, it makes sense that Hugh Jackson wanted to potentially have him because he's worked with him before and he understands him. This is not going to be something where, like it wouldn't make sense for a team like, you know, Denver. I don't know who's on their staff exactly. I don't know if anyone's ever worked with him, but it would seem that it would need to take someone who has worked with him before that understands how they could use him in order for him to be really a big, you know, piece of kind of a big piece of a trade. It would be a flyer, in my opinion, for anything else.
You know, whose name is at the top, really at the top of the possible free agent quarterback list is Drew Brees. I brought it up with Donald today.
Not going to happen.
Are you sure? Why hasn't anything happened down there?
I have no idea, but I just don't, like, no way.
Yeah, you'd like to think that, but yeah, here we are 5 days away now from something could happen.
I mean, you're right, but I think if you think about it like this, they're all looking at it's like real estate, right? Like, do you think Drew Brees thinks that he should get paid more than Kirk Cousins? Because I do.
Yes,
do
sure.
You think, you know what I mean? So they're all waiting for kind of the shoe to drop, in my opinion. They're waiting to see kind of what that market is because potentially Kirk Cousins could reset the market, which Matthew Stafford and then Jimmy Garoppolo on an average annual basis has. Then now you don't think Drew Brees is like, I want more than Jimmy Garoppolo. I deserve more than Kirk Cousins. See this ring on my finger?
Yeah.
So that's, I think it's a matter of like real estate comps, right? Like they're all kind of waiting to see, you know, who's going to break that $30 million mark. And by the way, Aaron Rodgers, he's up next year. He could renegotiate this year too.
Yeah, right.
Cynthia, you're like in the highest real estate market, one of them in the country. So as you talk about real estate comps, I mean, Drew Brees could be saying, I want that money, and the Saints could be saying, well, look, you're 39 years old. We can't give you that type of money at this point in your career.
I mean, you're right that they could, but then don't you think, I mean, if the market's this hot for Kirk Cousins, how hot do you think it would be for Drew Brees?
Oof.
I understand he's older, but to me, the proven winner. I mean, Drew Brees has five seasons passing for over 5,000 yards. He's never been the league MVP, which I think is, like, ridiculous. He should have, I mean, maybe not last year, whatever, but, like, he certainly should have by now.
Hey, so, Cynthia, yeah. Before we let you go, Cynthia, a question for you about analytics in general in the NFL. The Bills have a brand-new analytics director who's just come on board.
I know.
Yeah.
I may have gotten a chance to talk to some of your. In fact, I'll say I got a chance to talk to you, your coach and your general manager, and like I love them. They're when you see two people be cohesive like that are on the same page and seem to like they're going in the same direction. I'm telling you, like I'm excited if I'm a Bills fan. I'm excited as a Bills fan. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
They're on the same page. Like they're. I love your coach. He's funny.
Yeah, you are a Bills fan. You told us what you were a Bills fan.
Oh, I definitely am a Bills fan. But, I mean, just, in, you know, as outside looking in, there's a bunch of teams where GM and coach aren't on the same page. GM and coach or whoever's making the personnel decisions and whoever's executing on these decisions, like, they're just not. And that's not the case up there. It's not. Like, it's, you know, they're great.
They've got Luis Guillamo, who they hired as their analytics director. They've worked with him in the past. What do you think they have in mind? I mean, what would be the best way to use a brand-new analytics director if you were running the Buffalo Bills?
If I was running the Buffalo Bills, right now, obviously, in the season of trades and free agency, to me it's probably optimizing for the positions that you need. Like, you know, figuring out your quarterback strategy would be probably top of that list because you have a great – you're in a pretty good situation, right? You have a quarterback who I think the general public thinks is potentially underrated. I think he's great. I think he's top half of the league for sure. So you got that, and then that's your backup plan, right? Quote unquote, and you can look at other things from there. So you're in a great situation. It's better than it seems like kind of on the outset. So then you can focus on what are you going to do for wide receivers? What are you going to do for, you know what I mean? Like where can you go from there? So to me, it's probably optimizing the number of players you need at the positions that they hold most key.
Cynthia, you brought it up, a season of free agency and trades. And I think we're starting to see a new trend here. There's a lot of trades happening over the last week, and I feel like over the weekend and into free agency, we're going to see a lot more trades than we see the big splashy free agent signings. Is this something that you're noticing as well, or am I off?
No, I think you're right. And I actually think that it's smart, because here's a problem with free agency. In free agency, like, this price seems inflated, especially in, like, if you look right now at tackles and guards, there aren't very many. There are, like, Nate Solder from the Patriots, and then Andrew Norwood from the Panthers for guards. So it's like, because there's so few, then you may be potentially overpaying. But if you trade someone and you do, you know, like a year before, like before their deal is up, maybe you could kind of get something in return that optimizes the situation for both people. So in my opinion, it can be a good thing, especially if you're like both of those players, like, look, I want everyone to get paid, because who doesn't like money? I want to get paid. So it's not that. It's more about, like, wouldn't it be better to play for 3 years on a contract that's, you know, accurately priced than 1 year on one that's not? You know what I mean? So to me, figuring out, like, the right shift of trades versus, you know, draft equity, you want the games to be competitive and good and keep the ratings going, because we want to see great games. So for me, it's actually pretty logical to try to, you know, get something for this asset that you've developed, but you may not be able to keep because of your cap constraints, or, you know what I mean, for whatever reason.
You always make us think, Cynthia. Thank you very much for spending so much time with us here
today. Absolutely. Anytime. Thank you for having me.
Thanks. Have a great weekend. Cynthia Freeland,
bye.
NFL analytics expert for NFL Network. You can see her on Game Day Morning. She's the host of Game Theory and Money podcast. Cynthia Freeland joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh. Hey, we're a couple of weeks away now from Frank Reich's annual Call to Courage Awards breakfast. We had Frank on the show Monday talking about it. It's coming up Saturday, April 14th this year at the Hyatt Regency Hotel, the Grand Ballroom there. It's a great opportunity to hear Frank Reich and several others, including this year DeMario Davis, Jets linebacker. The Call to Courage Awards breakfast. Tickets, you can reserve them today at 559-1800. 9 o'clock in the morning, I'll be the MC, Hyatt Regency in downtown Buffalo. Frank Reich's Call to Courage Awards breakfast coming up Saturday, April 14. Cynthia's got a lot of good stuff there, Donald.
She does. Her way about looking at everything is from the analytics side. If people talk about analytics, and you know when she starts to talk about numbers, it's easy to really zone out, because you're like, well, I don't know what she's talking about. But she's good at kind of breaking it down in layman's terms. It's kind of like my doctor. When I first went to go see my kidney doctor, I said, Doc, I need you to explain this to me like I'm 5. Because I have no clue what you're talking about when you start getting into different, you know, body parts and how it's supposed to react and all of this stuff. And so he was able to do that. So I understood everything. And she's able to do that so that you can understand what she's talking about.
And I meant what I said, you know, and analytics means a lot of things to people in the NFL. Yes, it means game situations, when to call a timeout, what do you do with the clock, when do you punt, when do you not punt, et cetera. It also means, how do you identify people in the draft who either fit into a category or don't? I mean, that's part of what
really
they're doing
changes.
Right now. You know, looking at, you know, what is the typical corner? What are the attributes a typical corner has? Size, speed, combine results. This guy doesn't have this one. Can we take a chance on him here and give up this? You know, that's, to me, that might be right now, this time of year, especially now, the most important thing you can do with analytics.
I mean, it changes throughout the course of the year.
Yeah, it does.
Because it's like, okay, right now we need you to focus on these draft picks. All right, the numbers with them.
Or
we
free
need to
agents.
Know. Or free agents,
days
both
here.
Of them.
Yeah.
Focus on the free agents, the draft picks. Once we get into season, now we need to focus on the actual team and their tendencies, and we need to focus on players and their tendencies, you know, so that we could give our players the upper hand and give the most information for our coaches so that we can make the certain calls on the field. So as an analytics person for an organization, your job is never done. You're always, always having to come up with new numbers, new numbers, new numbers. And these analytics can change week after week, as you'll see a team in the beginning of a year. I mean, the Bills, they were a straight zone rushing team. And then they switch it over halfway through the year to now power rushing. And so that changes. And so if you're an analytics person on another team, you're like, all right,
Well, that's done with. Now we got to do. We got some new numbers on the Bills that we got to figure out.
Chris Brown wrote a really interesting piece on our website, BuffaloBills.com, about the Bills' approach to analytics and what they're going to do with their new analytics group. Speaking of free agents, we've been talking about free agency. We're 5 days away. Love to hear from you. We got phone lines open. 5 days away from NFL free agency, including the Bills. What free agent move would have the biggest impact, not just for the Bills, but around the NFL? Kirk Cousins, Sammy Watkins, Drew Brees, I'll throw that out there, even though Cynthia Freeland said don't even bother.
She poo-pooed that one.
She poo-pooed it. What do you think? Give us a call. The lines are open, 803-0550 from inside the Buffalo area, from outside Buffalo. Toll-free call at 888-550-2550. We're back to talk more about that, plus NFL true and false when we return. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. Donald and I, live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back, John Murphy. Donald Jones from our One Buffalo studio. Got a big weekend coming up here, Donnie. What do you got?
I'm just chilling.
Me too. I am on the road back, getting healthier daily, and going to spend a couple of days. I'll watch some basketball, watch the Bonnies tonight, watch UB tonight. You know, a little bang, bang, bang with the TV back and forth. Watch the selection show on Sunday. Hopefully we get to see the Bonnies and UB. Their names come up, and the Michigan Wolverines certainly will have their name come up.
So
that's about all I got scheduled.
That's all you got?
Isn't that bad? No, I need to be healthier, Donald.
Yeah, I mean, you've been battling this for like a year now. You need to chill.
5 weeks.
You were 3 weeks into it talking about, oh, yeah, I'm going out to Michigan basketball. Like, what? You're going to drive 5 hours and see them play basketball again? Are you hacking?
I didn't go.
The entire ride. Yeah, you sat that one out.
I sat it out.
You got to sit out another weekend. You got to sit out another
weekend. Gutted it up for the combine last week.
You got to get ready for the Final Four.
Yeah. Hey, yeah.
I know your boys, you got to get your flight.
People are already getting ready. I got to wait and see what happens here before we do that. Anyway, I hope you have a good weekend. We've got about a half hour left in the show. Time to talk with you. We started our show today, Donald and I, had a really good discussion. One of our best from noon to one, talking about free agents. We're 5 days away from the start of the free agency. Monday, actually, teams can start talking. I'm guessing sometime over the weekend, we start to get a real strong picture of what Kirk Cousins is up to.
Okay.
Am I crazy?
I think in the
over the weekend, I say. By Sunday night, you'll know where Kirk Cousins is going. There.
I mean, this stuff does get leaked.
Yeah.
It gets leaked. At least, I'll say this, at least by the end of the weekend, we'll have some numbers thrown out there. Oh, the Broncos are offering Kirk Cousins this. The Vikings are trying to offer him this and whoever. The Cardinals are offering him this. The Bills jumped in and offered him nothing. So, yeah, by the end of the weekend, yeah, we'll know.
We'll know. But Donald and I took a stab today at some of the most impactful free agent moves. 5 days until free agency. Donald's list of the moves that could have the biggest impact in the NFL. He started out saying, and he was all about the Patriots today. Donald said Jimmy Graham's going to sign with the Patriots. Or I don't want to say that's what you're predicting. You're saying these are moves that could happen and will have a huge impact.
I have a huge impact.
All right. Jimmy Graham goes to the Patriots. Richard Sherman goes to the Patriots. Woo-hoo. Le'Veon Bell, this one I'm not buying at all. Donald says Le'Veon Bell sits out the entire season. Yeah. Case Keenum comes to the Bills. Kirk Cousins signs with the Broncos. Those are Donald's five moves. Let me poke holes in a couple of those.
Poke holes.
Unlike Cynthia Freeland, our last guest, I'm surprised when she says that the NFL people she talked to hold Case Keenum in that high regard. There are 4 years of kind of middling
average,
to poor play
yes,
from Case Keenum
exactly.
that preceded last year. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what
I'm
you're
going
saying.
With Case Keenum of the last 5 years,
I mean,
not Case
when
Keenum
Case
last
Keenum
year.
Was with the Rams last year, it was like, oh, we're playing against Case Keenum.
Yeah, win.
That's exactly what you thought. And, and if you're listening and you ain't feel the same way, you are mistaken or lying or something. Because I'm telling you, you thought the same thing. Like, the Rams got Case Keenum as a quarterback? Oh, yeah. That's a win.
That's a win. You got Le'Veon Bell sitting out the year. I don't see how that happens, Donald. I know you're not predicting that. You're saying it could happen.
It
would have a huge impact. One of the best players in the game. He's only 26, I know, which would give him a little bit of flexibility. But to sit out, you know, the year to lose somewhere between, what, 10, 12, 14 million a year, right. depending on how many games, if he missed a few, you can't do that. People just can't afford to do that. I think he'll play. He said he's going to play.
He's made some money in this league, but he probably live off of that. But first of all, you love to play the game. That's why you're doing it. And you're talking about walking away from $14 million. I got this tweet that said, Steelers running back Latrell Speedwell walked away from a $21 million offer and never – that doesn't even make sense.
No.
I don't even know if I want to read the rest of this tweet.
Let me give you my five.
This doesn't happen often where people are walking away from $14 million guaranteed in 1 year as a running back. I mean, it's hard to get better than that. It really is.
Moves that could have the biggest impact, my five moves. I'm not predicting this, but as we get closer to free agency, you wonder. Drew Brees, I think. Maybe not signing with the Saints. Cynthia Freeland told me I was crazy. I don't know. You know, now we're 5 days away. He can't do anything Monday and Tuesday. He can't talk to any other teams because of his contract. Most free agents can't. That would have a huge impact if Drew Brees jumps out into the quarterback market. Oh, Kirk Cousins, man. I think he's going to the Vikings. I think that'll probably come out this weekend. A.J. McCarron, I think him or somebody like him is going to sign with the Bills on a short deal, a good money deal. I mean, by good, I mean good for the Bills. And he'll work alongside a rookie quarterback drafted and Nathan Peterman. I think Sammy Watkins is – I wouldn't be surprised if he does not go to the Rams, go back to the Rams. I think he'll have some value. Joe Mixon, Bengals running back, already out there saying, hey, Sammy, come play with us. Just the beginning, I think, of what's going to be a long string of suitors for Sammy Watkins, not because of his production, but because of his potential. And I also wonder whether Preston Brown will sign with the Bills. The closer we get to it, to free agency – The less I think the likelihood of that happening is. You've made the point a couple of times this week. We've talked about Preston Brown, Donald, about you get to this point, if you're Preston Brown, you're thinking, let's just see what's out there.
Let's see what's out there. Yeah. I mean, at this point, yeah, you guys are off. Unless the Bills throw some crazy number out there, which I don't see them doing. You know what? We're a week away from this thing. Let's just go ahead and test it out and see what teams think about me. Now, his agent has probably already talked to a bunch of teams.
Yeah.
It happens. It starts really at the combine where you start to – not supposed to, but it happens.
Sure.
And so you have a feeling of where your market would be, but you might as well at this point just test it out. Hit the free agent market. Let's see what we're talking about here. And once that thing opens up, who knows, you might get offered a big number, and you take it.
Let's work in a couple of phone calls here. Ron calling from Chickawaga. Go ahead, Ron. You're on the air.
Hey, Murph. How are you? Hi, Donald.
Hi.
What up, though?
Hey, I just I wanted to bring up a few maybe surprise landing spots. I'm thinking maybe Watkins to the Patriots. That would be an interesting move. I know Belichick has always spoken highly of him. Then I'm going to say Bridgewater to the Bills and A.J. McCarron to the Jets. I'll listen to your thought on how that might fit with each team. Thank you.
Watkins to the Patriots. I mean, Bill Belichick kind of speaks highly of everybody. That's kind of his shtick. That's what he does before every game. He speaks highly of every team.
You need Watkins and Brandon Cooks?
That's what I was about to get into. Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't know if they would do that. I could be totally wrong. And Watkins, I'm sure, is looking for some money. I know this. When you're a free agent, just as much as everybody's saying, well, this team would be a good fit for this person, I know when you're a free agent, You're kind of hoping for a certain team to call you, you know. And if I'm Sammy Watkins, I'm hoping – now, not that he would be the number one guy, but I'm hoping a team like the Houston Texans gives me a call because I can team back up with my boys from Clemson. And I'll be the number two, but at least I have a one-year prove-it type of deal for like $12, $13 million, and I'll do my thing, and then I can hit the free agent market again next year and really cash in and get a long-term deal.
And yet – here's the other side, though. If you're Sammy Watkins and you're going to sign a prove-it deal, who better to prove it with than Tom Brady, greatest quarterback of this generation?
You are totally right.
Thank you. You don't hear that often on this show.
You're right. But at the same time, you know if you're Sammy Watkins that Julian Edelman is coming back.
Yep.
You know that they still have Brandon Cooks.
Yep.
And you know Gronk is going to get the ball.
Yep.
And so you're like, all right, well, how many touches am I going to get? I'm basically going into the same situation like I just came from out in L.A., you know. So that would be the you know, you have the little person on one shoulder saying, that's Tom Brady. And the other shoulder like, nah, you ain't getting the ball there.
You're not number one there.
Yeah.
Here's a call from Aaron in Oregon. Go ahead, Aaron. You're on the air.
Hey, you guys. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to talk about something other than quarterback.
Yay!
Driven into the ground, yeah. I wanted to see what you guys think about free agent defensive tackles and linebackers. You know, you were saying Preston doesn't really fit the mold, and I wanted to know who you think might fit the mold. And I like that Star Lutelli or whatever.
Lutelli, yeah.
For defensive tackle.
You know, he's an interesting guy because they will have some, you know, both Bean and McDermott will have some background with him, right. Know about him. I don't, you'd be hard to argue that Lotulelei, who's been a good pro, I don't know if he's got a big impact. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He'd be good. He'd be solid. He'd be an anchor in the middle. Is he a difference maker in the middle?
It depends on how much he's trying to get paid. Because yeah. I think you, and when you're talking about in the middle, you would love to have a guy that can really make a difference in terms of getting to the quarterback and all of that stuff. But really what you're looking for an interior lineman, is a guy who can stuff the run. A guy who can consistently, you're not running up here. And I think when Marcell Dareus was at his peak, yeah, he could get into the backfield, but you also knew that it was hard to run up the middle with Marcell Dareus when he was really, really on his game. And I think you need to get back to that where you got some real girth up there in the middle, and teams are like, we can't run the ball up in the middle. Because when you were playing against the Panthers or the Broncos, it was like, man, it is tough to run the ball up the middle on this defense. So what are the Bills going to have to do? You're going to have to stretch it to the outside. That's tough to do in this league. And I think they want to have good, solid players up in the middle of that defense.
The caller wanted to know what free agent linebackers and defensive linemen might – you know who I can't stop thinking about a little bit? Who? Nigel Bradham.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's a good player.
He's a speed guy, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a speed guy. I'm surprised that the Eagles haven't – you know, they probably have locked – or at least tried to send him some type of offer. But Nigel Bradham is another guy like Preston. I'm close to free agency. Let's hit this thing. I just won a Super Bowl. I was a big piece of a defense that was one of the best defenses in the NFL. So, yeah, I'm going to hit the free agent market and see what I can get out there. And it's going to be some teams that will offer him some money. And, you know, I don't know if the Bills will be in that camp. But, you know, the Bills like to have some fast, some speedy linebackers. It'd be interesting to see if they offer him something.
You know who else interests me? And I'm looking through my list of available linebackers, Anthony Hitchens, mm-hmm. with the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
He's reliable. Only missed 4 games in 4 years. He can run pretty well. He'd be a guy I would at least check on if I were the Bills linebacker.
That one comes down to money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, it all comes down to money, yeah. All of them. But, you know, how much is he trying to get paid? Is always going to be the question for him. But, yeah, he's another guy who I think they really want speed at the linebacker position.
Me too.
They want guys that can go sideline to sideline, downhill, but it's important to have guys that can cover.
Hey, it's time now for NFL True or False. It is brought to you by Yancey's Fancy New York's Artisan Cheese. True or False, Donald, you go first here. The Steelers need to find their quarterback of the future in this year's draft. The Pittsburgh Steelers. True or False?
Ooh. I mean, true. And I'm going to say true because your current quarterback has continuously said, after games, after seasons, I think I'm going to hang it up.
Rough practices.
Right. Yeah, I had a rough practice.
No one's talking more about retirement.
Suck. Yeah, this is a bad practice. I think I stink right now. Yeah. I might retire. And it's like, you're not going to keep playing with emotions like that if I'm the Steelers. You're playing with my emotions. That's like dating a girl, and she keeps saying, I'm going to break up with you. You're like, man, why do you keep saying that? Are you trying to break up with me right now? you know what I mean? So, yeah, I think they need to find somebody just in case he really means what he says.
Yeah, I think true also. I think Steelers know that, too. They probably went into last year's draft thinking, hey, we got to find our next quarterback. Good luck finding another Roethlisberger, by the way, right?
Yeah, those guys don't. They don't fall off the trees.
I got true with that one, too. Here's an interesting NFL true or false. Adam Schein, NFL.com columnist, radio host, says Sam Bradford is the riskiest free agent coming up this year. I'm going false. I mean, just if you look at the quarterbacks, isn't Bridgewater riskier signing than Sam Bradford? I know he's had issues, you know, his knee, et cetera. He's got talent. I wouldn't put him at the top of the list, though, when it comes to risky free agents. I think that's false. Mr. Donald, what do you think?
I'm going true.
Really?
I think Sam Bradford, that dude is if he's not a China doll, he's the closest thing to it.
About Bridgewater?
Bridgewater, yeah. I mean, if you can prove that his knee is good enough to withstand a season, which you can't prove unless he goes through a season, but at least he doesn't have a full – I mean, he has that one injury, which is a bad injury, and we'll see if he can come back from it. But Sam Bradford just can't stay healthy in any season. He goes into the season healthy, and then all of a sudden he's down, out for the year, and you're trying to find another quarterback. So, yeah, he's the riskiest to me. And you know, and it's not just because of the knee. It's because he's going to want big money. Because he's like, I'm a talented quarterback. I want to get paid like this. And so, no, we're not paying you that. You can't stay healthy.
Finally, NFL true or false, the Patriots will sign Jimmy Graham, tight end. I think you've already said you think that will happen, haven't you? Or could
Patriots
happen.
Should sign Jimmy Patriots Graham. I think they Jimmy should Graham. Sign him. So, yeah, I'm going to go true. They should sign him because it would make their offense – it's a difference for their offense. So they have Gronk and Jimmy Graham on one offense, and then Julian Edelman healthy, and Hogan and Brandon Cooks going up the sidelines. Yeah, that's a difference for their offense.
I say false. I don't think in that offense, with all those weapons ahead of them, what kind of difference did Jimmy Graham make? Nice, you know, nice option, I guess, on some red zone plays, but really?
I think look at it this way. You got a Rob Gronkowski that, you know, he's talking about retiring as well, and he gets hurt pretty often, so – just as some insurance, and the fact that you like to have two tight ends on the field quite often, yeah, I think it makes sense.
NFL True or False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. Donald and I back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, coming to you live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
That's a good question. What have we learned? It's presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater. The preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We had a heck of a show today. We did. Greg Cosell joined us from NFL Matchup, NFL Films. Greg Cosell talked about what's changed at the NFL Combine over the years.
I don't know if they're getting different things out of it. I think if you talk to most coaches and personnel people, Murph, they'll tell you that it's really more about the interviews and the medicals because, you know, now that it's televised, and maybe that's the difference, they can watch a lot of this stuff on TV. They get the results and they get to see the visuals. They probably get digital outputs of it all, which they didn't, of course, years and years ago. My sense is, though, as far as the on the field, they probably don't view that as quite as important as the medicals and the visits with the players.
Greg Cosell with his normal enlightening Friday visit. Also today, earlier this hour, Cynthia Freeland, analytics expert from NFL.com and the NFL Network. We asked her, you know, if you were doing analytics for the Buffalo Bills, how would you approach the next couple of weeks of personnel acquisition? Here's what Cynthia Freeland had to say.
You know, figuring out your quarterback strategy would be probably top of that list because you're in a pretty good situation, right? You have a quarterback who I think the general public thinks is potentially underrated. I think he's great. I think he's, you know, top half of the league for sure. So you got that, and then that's your backup plan, right, quote unquote, and you can look at other things from there. So you're in a great situation. It's better than it seems like kind of on the outset. So then you can focus on, you know, what are you going to do for wide receivers? What are you going to do for, you know what I mean? Where can you go from there? So to me, it's probably optimizing the number of players you need at the positions that they hold most key.
Cynthia Freeland on what she would do with the Buffalo Bills. Our thanks to her for joining us today. We had an interesting discussion today, Donald, I thought. Don't you? I mean, two things. First of all, we started the show talking about trades. There have been a lot. There have been even more today, one more today. There could be trades coming up this weekend. I think this year is a little bit different in the NFL, mostly because of the cap. There's extra cap room, which means it's a little bit easier for teams to trade these contracts. I mean, really, the Bills started with Marcell Dareus last, October? I would look for more trades, maybe even from the Bills, coming up this weekend.
I think so. I think you're going to see some moves be made, and it's not going to be – I mean, it's – I think you look at either trades or releases. You know, you're seeing it all across the league. You can see some cap casualty guys. We'll see what happens over the weekend. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, we've got a caller here who has a quick thought on this. I'm reluctant to bring it up because we don't have a lot of time, but I think Tim in West Seneca has a point to make on this. Tim, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you. I'm kind of concerned that Bean is like up against it in spots with the salary cap. And I'm just curious who you think might be released to be a cap casualty, as Donald said, or who should be worried about maybe getting cut because he needs to free up something. I'm not going to say Jerry Hughes or something, but I have this strange feeling that he has to make a move to do what he wants to. I'm just curious to find out who it might be.
And I would say any veteran on the team who's been here for a while has a high number. I don't want to throw out names, but any veteran who's been here for a while has a high number. Could be a guy who they approach to take a pay cut or outright release or trade him.
I certainly think Tyrod Taylor is a trade possibility for the Bills. Cordy Glenn, whether it happens before next week or not. There are names out there, and I do think the Bills have got some moves to make and might even start making them this weekend.
Right.
We're here all next week to talk about free agency and everything that leads up to it and everything that follows. We've got a lot of shows coming up next week to talk about all of this. We hope you can join us. I want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Production assistants, J.J. Torito, George Blass. I don't know who George Black is. Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rood, our producer.
George Black.
Jay Harris. Sounds like a country music star. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, George Black.
George has a good voice for it.
We'll see you Monday at noon with more of the show here on Buffalo Bills Radio.